I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 3, recorded on September 3rd, 2023. What's going on, Pirate?
Well, welcome y'all to the Pirate and Chewy show, and we got a lot to pave out today.
We definitely got a lot to cover, man. We took a two week break, so the show is back. We're going to try to do this once a week, but just know that if the show doesn't always get out, you know, just
on time,
we'll let you know. Like I said, this is still a fun hobby for us right now, but we got a lot to talk about. So I'm going to let you kick off the first segment, and then we'll move into all the other things that we've got on the agenda today. So what's the first thing you got on your mind, Pirate?
Well, the first thing. Well, let's just talk about Trump's mugshot. Y'all seen that mugshot, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, we know he was all arrested for some heinous crime over there.
In Atlanta for challenging an election. How dare he?
But well, shame on him.
But I'll have to admit, on the legal side of why they're charging him, I haven't read into it, because at this point, I just feel like any time that somebody makes an allegation against him, I just dismiss it. I mean, this is indictment number 5 now?
Yes.
Between federal and state, various different sources, you know. I'm like,
yeah, they're going to
wow.
try to keep him bogged down as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's why they say election interference.
Exactly is what it is.
Yeah.
So they raised, he raised his organization, Trump Organization, just on that one mugshot so far, somewhere around $7.1 million.
I heard about that.
In revenue.
I almost want to get a T-shirt.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about getting a T-shirt, an actual coffee mug, too, for an actual mug shot.
That'd be funny as heck, man.
Yeah, I mean, they got it on all type of Trump merchandise.
Yeah, and see, the shirt I want to get is just this mug shot. I don't want any statements. Like,
no.
I know he has one that's called, I think it's like Never Surrender. And it's
yeah.
mug. I don't want any statements. I just want the mug shot.
I want his look.
That face.
Well,
that's the thing. If you don't have any commenting on the shirt, you can walk around town, and people can interpret that as either he's a Trump supporter or he can't stand him. But either way, if they don't have, you know, the cojones to come up and say anything to you and just leave it the way it is, you know, it's like, yeah, they'll go back later. Like, yeah, some dude was wearing a Trump shirt.
Yeah, I was thinking about
a mugshot shirt.
I was definitely thinking about ordering one and using it as my Halloween costume this year.
Yeah, we're already planning that a little bit last night. The spouse was even surprised that I brought it up, because she was like, I didn't think you guys wanted to do a Halloween party. And I was like, well, you know, if we can work it out. But, you guys have always the generous party host. So I can. And you know what? If we don't do one, I won't be that disappointed either. But I'm just thinking ahead.
You know that put a little twinkle in her eye when you said Halloween.
Yeah. Well, I'm. You know what? I was never this huge Halloween fan in the past. It's not that I hated it. It was more of like a childhood thing. And it seems like in the last 20 years that Halloween has become another big, holiday and party and everything. And especially some of the Halloween parties you guys hosted, you know, they've been memorable. So I actually get a little excited for Halloween now. So
yeah.
So what are you going to do with this? So if you do this Trump mugshot T-shirt, what's going to be the theme? Are you going to do like an Uncle Sam with it, or you know, what's the idea behind it?
Yeah, I'm just going to be like a Trump, like just a Trump billboard.
A Trump fan.
Yeah, like a billboard. Even though, you know, I'm just, you know, that's just not where I'm standing on right now, but I just like the mugshot. I like the fact that he's just...
Oh, he looks so pissed off.
He's got this scarred look, you know, this pissed off look. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, we're gonna get into it later, but, you know, at the concert, remember during ministry, they kept flashing his face up on the Jumbotron.
Oh, that was excellent.
And again, they didn't... I think the lead singer said something, but I didn't hear it. So, again, it could be taken either way. Either they support him or they don't like him. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So also Bud Light, we talked about Bud Light in the first show, you know, the fact that they really screwed up with their latest campaign with the Dylan Mulvaney.
Oh, yeah.
And then the fact that they lost $400 million in revenue or maybe even possibly more.
I don't know the numbers, but it is definitely in the multi-million dollars. They're still suffering for it for you know basically appealing to trans people, which is okay. We know we can like kind of cover that in the last show, but the effect is still you know definitely happening out there.
Well, and then they said they're feeling it, and so they want to launch this new ad campaign for the upcoming NFL season.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're trying to, you know, appeal to the one that was once a blue collar sports collegiate, you know, type of beer. So that's what they're going to try to unveil these commercials and radio campaigns. You know, try to, you know. But here's the thing. I mean, there's so many choices in beers out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
I mean, we can name at least 10 or 20 off of the you know top of our mind right now. And you know, all of these consumers have switched, most of them.
They have. They're not looking back.
No, and there's just so many great tasting choices out there. So,
I mean, what's their idea with the NFL? They want to make it look more masculine again or something?
Well, I guess they know that they hurt that demographic by, you know...
taking a little bit of a woke stance.
Taking the stance that they took.
Well, it's funny you say that they're going to... advertise within the NFL because the NFL went woke there for a little while.
Yes.
And people have already noticed at the preseason game that the end racism statement in the end fields are gone. And so the joke is, I guess the NFL, ended racism, or maybe being woke isn't cool anymore because they have definitely suffered over it as well. So in a way, I mean, I don't absolve them of their wokeness. They still decided to take a stance, which is okay. You know, I mean, the whole Black Lives Matter thing, you know, I'm all for the statement, but it's turned into something else. It's turning into what I call race hustling. It's turned into money grabbing, like a lot
corporate
of these
greed.
Well, you know, it's supposed to be a setting of just like a charity, and these leaders from these different cities of BLM are buying mansions and stuff, and it's like, hold on a second, time out. So now BLM is not cool anymore. At least the organization is not cool anymore. I've got no problem with saying Black Lives Matter. I think it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that, but it got perverted into pro-black or anti-whitism, and it's just like, well, hold on. If you're not trying to be racist here, what are you doing when it comes to taking a stand of, oh, you know, so like the NFL and to hear that the NFL and Bud Light want to team up together, I think that's pretty freaking hilarious.
I think it is. Yeah, yeah, we'll see what happens. So, let's move on. Welcome back to the Pirate and Chewy Show all over the road.
All over the road.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we are already, aren't we?
We are. We are definitely on an adventure here, folks. And thank you for listening to us out there. Thank you for supporting our podcast.
Yeah, and you know what you said to me before the show, and I forgot to write it down. Let's put out our little jingles out there. So we're on AcabonoRadio.com, and then you can send a comment to us at AcabonoRadio@gmail.com. And if you didn't get that all down, there's the power of the rewind button, or it's on our website. All the information's right there to send us a comment. So we would definitely, you know, we're first of all, like Pirate said, we're glad that you're here listening to us, and you know, you can send us some feedback. You can send us some commenting, you know.
Or questions or topics that you would like me and Chewy to indulge in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Or things you'd like to hear more about. We'll bring them things up, too.
Exactly. I mean, we got plenty to talk about, but we also love to get some constructive criticism. And then even in future shows, we'll be able to do call-ins on the phone. So,
yeah, that's coming up soon.
Yeah, yeah. Once we get some equipment upgraded here, Pirate and I are working on the equipment upgrade as we go. And, you know, we're completely doing this on our own. We don't have any sponsorships. We're just two buds that like to drink beer and talk here. So what you got here for your topic discussion in the next one?
Last week, during the right before the Hurricane Idalia here in Florida, in Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, there was a Citgo fuel contamination.
I heard about that. Didn't they do something with the mix of the fuel or something?
Yeah, somebody
Here we go.
Somebody decided that it was pretty cool to fill a gas tanker with diesel fuel instead of gasoline.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that?
So what you're saying is diesel fuel possibly got delivered to a gas station on regular gas pumps.
Yes.
Oh, that's bad for an engine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to make a lot of smoke, a lot of, rough idle. Maybe shut the motor down, lock it up. Who the hell knows, you know?
Right.
Depending on how far they decided to drive it. And depending on how low their tank was, you know, if they just had like maybe a three-quarter tank, it might be a little bit rough idle, but...
Okay. So you can see, you know more about mechanics with this, and you can run an engine a little bit off of diesel for a while?
Yeah, probably a little bit, but if it was like a complete empty... And you ran that diesel in there, forget it. It's just going to start spittering, sputtering. And
well, I know it's a very oily gas, and if that's going to get into the pistons, it's going to get in the fuel
it'll
line.
It'll run, but it'll run really rough. A lot of backfires, a lot of smoke.
Oh, boy.
Oil spitting out the back of the muffler.
So you're going to have to do like Fred Flintstone, get your feet out and start running along and get that car going. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, so Hurricane Idalia, that happened because of,
There was a lot of folks buying fuel. Like here in Florida, when there's a hurricane, there's a big rush on fuel. Everyone's, you can't even drive anywhere.
The panic button hits. Right.
People start going to every single gas station, lining up. Plus, they're filling their generator gas cans, whatever they need for gas.
Going to the grocery store, cleaning it out.
Propane tanks.
Over nothing. It's like anything, man, with if you live down here, you're supposed to keep an eye on this, and there's no excuse not to keep an eye on it because we've got so many avenues of reporting now. But like anything, you got your good, your bads, and I tell you, I love Dennis Phillips here locally in the Tampa Bay area because the guy stays calm about anything, and he has like a 7 rules of dealing with the storm, and rule number 1 is don't freak out. His rule number 7 is don't freak out until I freak out, so he always stays calm about it, but I noticed we got lucky here in the Tampa Bay area, but I noticed when the storm passed us, the next day, we ended up with more rain. Then when the storm passed us parallel, I was blown away. I was like, that was more funny. Like the Wednesday after was worse than the day that the storm arrived.
Well, that was the tail end and, the rain bands that were following. And, of course, Hurricane Idalia came to Florida last week, made landfall in the Gulf Coast in the Big Bend area. Mm-hmm. It was a Cat 3.
Man, that still can destroy,
Oh, yeah, it was devastating. And 7:45 a.m., I mean, that's early in the morning, on a Wednesday morning, a work week. People were out of work. People left, evacuated.
I heard that area wasn't, like, that populated, so in a good way, it, I don't know the report of deaths. I know the damage was low to infrastructure and stuff like that. If anything, here in the Tampa Bay area, the storm surge, the flooding, like all down by Bayshore and everything, they had people out on canoes and stand-up paddle boards, which is always hilarious looking.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cedar Key is a small town, probably more like a retirement area,
right?
Or wealthy folks having like vacation homes, beach homes. It's right on the water. It's a little island,
Yeah.
So the thing is there's probably not a lot of population versus Tampa or St. Petersburg. So the amount of power outages was in the hundreds of thousands versus if it would have came here and hit Pinellas County or Tampa,
right.
It would have been in the millions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, devastation would have been like terrible here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, devastation was bad there, but let's just say that Tampa Bay got spared.
And people definitely got hunkered down because the Wednesday after the storm was well past us. The town that we live in was, it was almost like Sunday mornings in the 80s in this town. I mean, like it was dead. And part of it was everyone had already bought all their supplies and they're just staying home. Even though there was no need to hunker down anymore, like there's a local peach establishment I went to, hardly anybody showed up. I think they would have want to get out after just a 24-hour storm. But no, it was dead.
People had their beer, liquor, wine, their steaks, burgers.
Their hurricane party at the house,
right?
All
the hurricane party food.
Yeah. And see, I feel bad in a way because we always You know, I know I say a statement, I was like, we got lucky again. We got lucky. But, you know, that's part of living anywhere. You know, it's just a little more frequent here in Florida. But that's just how it goes, man. Some people are going to get destroyed in other places. Not, you know, minimal damage, whatever you call it.
Well, that's why they call it a narrow cone.
Yeah.
You know, that little cone of destruction is just in a few hundred miles. It's not, you know,
I don't even think it was that bad, because that storm that went by us in 2016 out in the Lakeland area, man, that the eye went past us.
Irma.
Yeah. Yet your place, my place, you know, yeah, there were some branches and stuff, but it wasn't that bad. At least I didn't think it was that bad.
There were some trees down. It produced a lot of sticks and moss. There was some trees and
power
plants.
Was out for a good 5 days.
Power was out for
I remember
for a while.
That. Yeah. Five days.
I was a good week without. But this time, no power out.
Yeah.
But there were power outages in the, you know, that northern part, Citrus County, north, and I think even in Pinellas County, along the coast, let's just say the whole coastline, I'm sure there was some, I think there was a few in Tampa, right. In the hundreds of thousands, but it wasn't in the millions like with the other storms.
Right.
And of course, they had the storm surge.
Yeah, we got the storm surge here in Tampa Bay area.
Tampa, Pinellas County. Mm-hmm. I know some folks that lived over in the St. Petersburg area near downtown. They were out of their home for at least 3 days because of the storm surge.
Yeah, I saw the footage of Tarpon Springs, you know, the whole village there with the shops and everything. They got a good half a foot on the streets into the shops. Oh, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I was just there this year.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's a beautiful place. You know, the Greeks, man, it's part of the heritage.
Part of the Chewy heritage.
Yeah. I hate seeing that happen. But, you know, they do literally live on the water. So, you know, you got to expect that, right?
Yes. And there was 130 miles an hour wind. But, you know, we didn't feel anything, maybe more than 20 to 40 miles an hour.
Cut little gusts here and there.
Gusts. You know. A lot of rain, but gusts. And the rain was come and go.
Right.
And it caused, there was impacts along the way for like Gainesville, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Cross City. It moved its way into Valdosta, Georgia as a Cat 1. Went a little bit north of the Savannah area and exited out through South Carolina and into the water again, and then bye-bye Idalia.
Yeah, it went out there. And, you know, like anything, I kept an eye on it. We got another one out there. They don't know where it's going to go right now, but they think it could be another major one. But they're already talking about it's going to turn north, which was like, yeah, stay out in the Atlantic.
Yeah, that one's called Invest 95L.
Okay.
And it's on track to develop into a storm. Later this week, they said that it's possible to go into the Caribbean, but as you know, like with the Franklin storm, it went north of like the Bahamas and Bermuda and all that.
Did a big turn.
Yeah, that's what they do sometimes because of the way the winds are blowing. But I did see the winds are blowing towards the west this week, but they can change.
Right.
You know, we'll keep an eye on that one. There's also another one in Africa. Yeah, it's another disturbance of thunderstorms lining up.
Oh.
It's behind that storm, and it's expected to possibly develop in a few days right on the coast there in Africa and then move its way out.
I'm going to have to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, I think we should keep an eye on the seas right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you got going on today, Chewy?
So what's this thing I've been hearing about ultra-right beer? What's the deal with this thing here?
Well, Ultra Right Woke Beer is the name.
It is? It's called Ultra Right Woke Beer?
Yes, it is. Okay. Ultra Right Woke Beer. It's for conservative, quote, dads.
Okay.
I think they're playing a take on the Mick Ultra.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to. And the founder's name is Seth Weathers. He's a conservative. He's had enough of woke corporations.
Is that why he came up with this beer?
Yes, and he says they're fighting back with their wallet.
Okay. Well, yeah, and we have been.
Yes. And, well, the company's doing their part to fight wokeness by donating a portion of their sales to defeating woke school board members across the USA.
They're going to feed woke school board members? Why would they want to give them money?
Not feed, defeating.
Defeating.
Oh, yeah, like taking them on in the voting platforms. And
so having like a common man run for the seat.
They're trying to like, move people into the right positions.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, there has been a lot of topics over the last couple of years, not just here in the Florida area, just like in Virginia, and you hear about these school boards fighting with parents about the curriculum And a lot of that started, not started, but, you know, Florida made the national spotlight. We always get the crazy news down here, you know, because, the bill, which they labeled as Don't Say Gay, which it wasn't about not saying gay at all, was just basically, you know, what the governor signed, that you're not going to teach sexuality of any kind to, you know, kids under the grade of three, which, you know, I'm not a parent, but I can understand that. I think kids are innocent to a degree. I love kids, and let them enjoy their childhood. They don't need to know about sexuality, or if a parent deems they want to teach them that or not teach them that, that should be a parental call, not in a public school system. I mean, even the other day, this dad confronted the school board. I forgot where it was, somewhere in this country. And he basically started reading excerpts from this sex book. And they kept trying to cut him off and shut him down and everything. And eventually arrested the guy. And they let him go on a misdemeanor because he was not listening to the rules of, you know, hey, you can't keep saying this or whatever. But the irony about all that is, it was the book that they approved. So this father is calling them out on it, and they don't want to hear it. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of people have a hard time hearing the truth these days. So it's like, where does the line start and stop? And I think a lot of parents are sick of this. So this ultra-right beer, what kind of beer is it?
Well, it's a special golden lager.
Ooh, hey, I like a good golden lager.
I love a golden lager. And it's made with water, hops, barley, and yeast. It's got 4.8% ABV, alcohol by volume.
Okay, that's about an average ABV there. Yeah.
It's got a nice little tall boy can, red, white, and blue.
Now, can we get in our area yet?
No, it's not available like at the stores. But okay, this guy, you know, he's he just launched here in April 2023. So
okay, where is he based out of?
He's based out of outside of Atlanta in Gwinnett County.
Okay,
he's proud of that.
Yeah.
And also, they're brewing it here in Lakeland, Florida.
They are.
In Lakeland.
Well, we're going to have to go find a bar and go try out this ultra right-wing beer.
We're going to have to find out if they're serving it in the Lakeland area somewhere.
Now, this ain't going to turn me into a Republican, is it?
No, it doesn't say anything about being Republican or anything.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
But, you know.
Because I feel kind of dirty just even saying that.
Well, they have surpassed... this ale has surpassed approximately 1 million in sales. So if we purchase
good.
A few, they'll be at like,
well, you know,
1 million and two.
Well, circling back to the Bud Light thing with the frustration of America and everything like that. Did you hear that one of the Anheuser-Busch heirs is trying to get investors together that he, and it's not August Busch the Fourth. August Busch the Fourth is one, the guy who sold the company to InBev, the Belgium brewing company. I forgot which Busch this is, but it's not August. He's basically trying to get investors together to bring the company name, all of Budweiser beer, back to the States. Like, they're still headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri. The brewery's there. We got microbrews all over the place, or, you know, small breweries all over the country. But his idea is that he wants to buy the brand back from InBev and bring it back to America, man. What do you think of that?
I think it's awesome, man. I think that if you're going to sell out your company name, that's just, first of all, just dishonorable to your company name, which has been a, you know, almost 150-year legendary name.
Legendary or legacy. You
legacy
might be looking
as well.
for that term. Because the thing is that the Bush family, like any family, had a lot of infighting. And this man who wants to invest, this Bush member that wants to invest into the company, got into a lot of arguments with his brother and disagreed with what he did. But they didn't have any say anymore, because, you know, stocks change over the years, whoever ever had the major shareholders, blah blah blah.
Sure.
You know, and it's not just one man. You got to understand, even in corporations, the CEO just doesn't make the decision on their own.
Well, they have board of directors.
Yeah, you got the board of directors, you got the major shareholders. But I find it very exciting to think that the Budweiser brand can come back as a United States on American beer again. I think it would be a great thing. You know, people would maybe start drinking Bud Light again. Maybe.
It would definitely be a one of them type of comebacks, man. It'd almost be like...
It'd be huge.
It'd be the Rocky IV of beers.
It would. And you know what? And, you know, the thing is I would protest, not protest, petition by an email, because I'm not into protesting. Wrong choice of words here. I would petition, if that happens, they need to bring back their marketing team from the 90s, because that's what helped put Budweiser on the map as far
bring
as
bring back
awareness.
Spuds.
Bring back Spuds, man. Bring back the What's Up guys. What are they up to now?
Bring
what are
back the Frogs.
Bring back the Frogs. Any of the stuff that we know worked, why? There's nothing wrong with doing that.
How about when they used to be on any type of sports, like the Budweiser Hydro
Bowl? Or that. Or how about the Bud Bowl?
Bud Bowl.
Remember the Bud
Bowl? Hydro Bowl.
All the sponsorship.
All the yes. NASCAR. I don't see them anymore in NASCAR.
You really don't.
IndyCar. You don't see them anywhere.
You're right.
What happened?
You're right. You know, what's supposed to be America, the king of beers, you don't.
I think these new folks that own them just don't know Americana.
No. Yeah.
They have no clue.
And the idea of bringing that back to America would be pretty cool, man. So
I'm looking forward to it. I hope let's check in with that later down the road.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, also I've got some good news for you.
What's that? Speaking
about bringing something back.
Uh-huh.
I know this is right up your alley.
Yeah.
So they're bringing back and re-releasing the movie Goonies.
Ooh, Goonies, huh?
Yeah. And that movie was originally released in June 1985. And they are celebrating. This is to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Warner Brothers studio.
Well, Warner Brothers needs a little help right now. The fans are pissed off at them on the comic book side of things. They have the rights to all the DC comics, which is Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, you name it.
Uh-huh.
They're supposed to be rebooting all those characters already, and it's only been like 10 years. It's like within 10 years, you're already rebooting the characters. So a lot of fans are kind of pissed off at them right now.
I understand. Well, this movie right here, I remember it. It was a great movie.
One of my favorites.
And one of my favorite actors, Josh Brolin, was in that movie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that movie, for those of y'all that never seen it or don't know, it's an adventurous tale about a group of kids. They were setting out to find this mysterious lost ship. And the
for the treasure,
and the captain that was on that lost ship, I remember him, One-Eyed Willie.
Yep, the mystery of One-Eyed Willie,
and that's just right up the pirate alley, like me. Yo ho ho.
Well, you're right about getting me excited, because that is one of my top 80s favorite movies. I'm not going to say it's the number one, but you know, top 10, top 20, definitely. I love that movie. I love the adventure. I love the humor. I love the somewhat seriousness of it. You know, it's not a serious movie, but every now and then it gets a little melancholy, because the idea is that these kids go to try to find this treasure because a bunch of rich goons want to buy their neighborhood and turn it into a golf course, and everybody's broke, you know? So the idea, if they go get this treasure, they could save what they call the Goondocks, because the Goonies are the Goondocks.
Yes.
But just all the memorable performances. How about Chunk, man? I mean, Chunk's my boy, man.
Yeah,
he's
like
a big nerd, but big fat nerd. No, he wasn't even that fat. He was chunky. That's why he was Chunk. But I tell you what, if his name, that actor's name is Jeff Cohen, if you saw him now, you wouldn't even recognize him, because he's in his late 40s, but he's lean. He's bald, but that's okay. That happens to some guys, but he's a good looking dude. You know, it's hard to believe he's the same guy. He's actually a entertainment lawyer. So he did the childhood acting thing, and it didn't work out for him anymore, or he moved on from it. Matter of fact, Kequan, who played Data and, in Goonies, and was also Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh yeah. I like that
guy.
Yeah.
He just recently won the Academy Award for that performance in that movie, which I can't think of off the top of my head right now. But he won the Academy Award for his performance, and guess what? Chunk, Jeff Cohen, is his entertainment lawyer, so when Kequan was shouting out all the accolades that people support him, everything's, and he said, to my Goonies brother for life, my entertainment lawyer, Jeff Cohen. And I was like, that brought a tear to my eye. I was like, whoa, that's cool. I had no idea that Chunk was Data's entertainment lawyer. So when's it going to be back in the theater?
They didn't really give a date, but I think it's sometime in the near future.
All right.
I'd have, We'd have to really. I didn't do enough research on it. I just.
Well, I want
to
look it up.
Press
now.
Release.
You've intrigued me.
Yeah, I could if I would have had my laptop here. I would have punched it in real quick. But the 100th anniversary. All we have to do is just research when the 100th anniversary is coming up. I'm sure it's going to be
for Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be around that time.
Okay. Cool.
You know, it would have been nice if they would have released it in June of this year, but they
didn't. I thought for some reason I thought it was a summertime 85 movie, but I could be wrong. It could have been a fall movie.
Well, it said released in June of 85.
Oh, June 85. Oh, so they're holding off for the 100th anniversary of the studio, not so much the
movie,
time release.
Well,
the
movie
the
was
Goonies
released
movie.
Yeah, only like 40 years ago.
And here's the thing, this is just a rumor. So take that as it's just a rumor. They've been talking for years of making a sequel. It just hasn't happened yet. Unfortunately, the original director passed on from it. He was interested in coming back and doing the sequel. But the premise would be if they get it going, because the whole cast wants to do it. The kids are all adults now. It would be two Goonies adventures in one. Their kids have that adventurous spirit, go off on a Goonie adventures, and then the parents have their own Goonie adventures trying to find the kids.
Okay.
So it'd be kind of like what happened in the movie, because Chunk separated from the group, and he was with Sloth, with the Fratellis chasing them down, and then the rest of the kids were on their own, same adventure, but different paths to try to find the treasure. So, sounds like a cool premise.
It does. Well, we'll have to wait and see if that ever pans out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, did you hear about this another thing coming back? And this isn't a movie, of course, but this is a legend. The Loch Ness Monster in Scotland.
Really? That's back in the news, huh? Why has Nessie been spotted again?
Well, there's just people stirring it up again. They just last month they had the largest expedition hunt, and it drawed a global attendance. People come from France, Japan,
really?
All over the place,
really?
United States.
Yeah.
And they want to find what this Loch Monster is.
The Loch Ness Monster. Well, her nickname's Nessie.
Nessie, yeah. And Loch is a lake in Scotland.
It's actually a very black, deep lake. That's why they think this dinosaur's hiding in it.
Yes, and that dates back to the 6th century when they actually had first reports of this, this Ness being seen out there.
Right,
And also, don't forget the infamous photo of the head sticking out of the water. That was from 1934.
Right.
And a lot of folks were like, well, that's a hoax.
Well, conveniently grainy.
Oh, yeah, it was very. I mean, I see pictures of, folks in 1930s and all in the photos in black and white, and they're perfectly clear. Perfectly clear.
Well, the thing is like, I'm open-minded to it. I'm not going to say I believe it. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I just think it's a fascinating subject to think that there could be this aquatic dinosaur in this lake, which is conveniently very deep. It's almost like ocean depth level. And they said sonar can't even hit the ground or penetrate it. Like, I've seen documentaries where they lined up a bunch of boats all together and they moved at the same time to try to shoot sonar into the lake, and they say they found nothing. But at the same time, this is what I love subjects like this, because it starts going into conspiracy theory. I says, yeah, it's conspiracy theory, but how would the world react if they actually did find a dinosaur? Do you think they would want to admit that? I don't think they did, because I don't think a lot of people want to it's like anything with the truth these days. People don't like the truth. If they did, let's just hypothetical, they found Nessie, they have the pictures, they'd be like, yeah, we can't release this, man, because people would freak out.
Yeah, it's like that one movie, You Can't Handle the Truth.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was the Medal of Honor movie with
Jack Nicholson.
And Tom,
you
Tom
can't
Nicholson.
Handle the truth.
I always get those two mixed up, the golfer and the actor. But with Tom Cruise, he was the lawyer and, all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, the thing is here's what I'm thinking. If this thing's been around for that many years, is there more of them in there? Because, I mean, obviously one can't live by himself.
Right.
And eventually, like, whether it's animals. I mean, there are animals known to live for a long, long time.
Well, there's got to be more than one.
There's got to be. I mean, they got to have a family, mate, do all these type of things.
Yeah, you got to mate. You got to, or as Sheldon said, they got to have coitus.
Whatever. But the thing is, whether they're, you know, they've got to live on and move on in life. They can't just be one living in there. So if this thing was like, say, from years and years back from the 30s or even before then, obviously, eventually, nothing can live past 200 years. I've never seen anything on Earth live that long.
The only thing they know that lives that could possibly live that long is turtles. And turtles are direct descendants of dinosaurs. So it's possible Nessie could live that long. But like you said, there's got to be other dinosaurs or other species of this kind to sustain itself and continue and move on and breed and all that stuff, right?
And why is it only in this one lake?
That's an interesting question.
I mean, did that thing crawl into that lake back in the day when the extinction was going on?
Yeah, well, maybe when the asteroid hit the Earth, you know, the Jurassic Park era, 65 million years ago, Nessie's great-great-grandfather says, well, I'm going to hang here because the rest of the world's burning, so I'm gonna be down here for a little while.
Well, that's quite possible. He could have been deep down in there might be caverns down there.
Could be. We don't know.
And he could be deep down in there, and maybe he was safe all these years.
And the water happens to be pitch black, too, so even visually it's hard to see things.
Oh, they put cameras in there. I remember seeing
these
shows.
Yeah, you can't see like 5 feet past the camera.
No, there's no visual.
Because there's so much sediment kicked up in there that the water literally looks black.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I just have a hard time putting my hands around, does this thing exist or not?
Right.
No one's ever really seen it that close up.
Right.
I would love to know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be cool. So we'll keep an eye on Nessie.
Yeah, we'll get back and have updates on that story.
Yeah. So, COVID. I thought this was over. So in context, what we're going to talk about here, there is possibly one strain, two strains coming out this fall now I've been hearing about. And Mr. POTUS, Mr. President, wants to implement a mask and possibly even vaccine mandates, man. What do you think about that? Have you heard about these rumors that have been going around?
Yeah, I've seen the rumors of the strains and I mean, I'm sure we you know, flu is always out there.
Of course.
Other viruses.
Yeah. You
know, they return every season, right?
Right, right, right.
And I think this COVID is gonna be around for a while. Like, it's going to return from time to time because it is an infectious disease.
Well, I, at this point, believe COVID is a real thing, but I believe it's a cold. It's kind of a nasty cold, but my thing with the reason why I wanted to talk about this is that mask mandates. Well, there was a story last week that they said the N95, which was supposed to be the Cadillac of all masks, can have a chemical and toxic side effects for you. So like anything. So, yeah, the whole thing with like the mask, the vax mandates, it's like when does it work?
Well, my question is, Chewy, you said that they're saying that these masks have some type of
chemical
toxins in it, or it could be, you know, make you sicker. So is it the manufacturer that's manufacturing them?
I don't know.
Is it, you know, are these things just always been this way, and they're finally admitting it?
Well, that's the thing. They disclosed about a year ago that the cloth masks aren't that effective. So it was, well, do the N95. Now we're hearing that the N95 is toxic to you. It comes down to a buddy of mine who's into fitness and health and a nutritionist and everything. He said, your idea of your basic living is to breathe in air, oxygen, and then expel it with CO2. He said, when you cough in your mask, guess what? You're inhaling those toxic right back into your body. I was like, oh, well, that's not good either. And I can, you know, I'm no medical guru, and whoever's listening is probably tell us I'm full of shit or whatever. But the thing is, the idea with the mask with surgery is so that the nurses and the physicians don't spray vapor into an open cavity, which then can affect.
Exactly.
So the debate has been coming in, does it stop a virus? I argue no.
No, it's a mouth cover is what it is. It's a cover. It's like a trash can lid. And right. That's what I think they are. The masks are trash can lids.
Trash can lid.
Over there in China, you know, they're wearing them thinking that, oh, that's going to protect us from the air pollution over here.
Right.
And you know, of course, that's what they have over there. A lot of air pollution, a lot of, you know, toxins in the air.
And I'm sure there's some benefit to it. But a virus?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if there was a fire in the backyard or a fire in the woods.
Of course, you cover up
your mouth.
You filter a little bit.
Hell, you could take a kitchen washcloth, wet it.
They tell you to do that. They tell you to make a wet washcloth.
If you're in your house and there's a fire, you can take a washcloth, wet it, and put it over your mouth and walk through the house, and it's going to help lessen the effects of smoke inhalation.
Right. So, I mean, so if they do bring back these mandates, what are you going to do about it?
I'm not going to wear no mask.
Neither am I. I'm done.
Why would I wear one when they don't work? And they're saying, too, that the N95 is going to bring medical and issues, toxins and all into your body. Why should I? I mean, I don't trust what they're saying anyways. I mean, that's just an opinion.
That's my – right. And granted, hey, those of you listening, this is just our opinion. You can tell us we're full of crap. And that's fine. We welcome your opinion. We're not here to shut you down. This happens to be our platform that we're talking about it on. And you're right. I don't trust them anymore because everything that they've responded to with this whole COVID since it started, they've been wrong about everything.
Yeah, well, I think that the mask was already tried once. It created a lot of friction.
We did it, and then remember, hey, remember it turned into, oh, no, you got to wear double mask now. And that's when I was like, hold on a second, double mask. Even it was gone as far one time as suggesting a triple mask. I was like, oh, now it's – you know what I keep hearing? Now it's going to work.
Where that's insane.
None of it.
All of it is insane, Chewy.
Yeah.
The main thing is it created a lot of friction, fights.
It ruined a lot of relationships,
store were
man.
Right. Pissed off about it.
Oh, yeah, the one-way aisles and all that. Like, that makes a freaking difference. Like, a virus only works one way.
Well, they put the plexiglass everywhere.
Oh, the social distancing, which did nothing. Silly. Remember that social distancing?
And remember, these people put us through this. They divided our country. There was people.
That was the idea of it.
You're not going to wear a mask. I don't want to be your friend.
You know why? Because you and I are definitely in the skeptic denier category where you have other people who do believe in it, and that's fine. That's fine if you believe in it. But my problem with the believers, it turned into fear. And that's what they're doing by yelling at you at the grocery store, why don't you have your mask on? Because they live in fear.
Well, there's nothing to fear of.
Well,
I mean, the only fear is fear itself.
There you go. Exactly. And FDR.
Yes, sir. And the thing is we've tried it once.
It
doesn't
work. We complied, didn't we?
People were getting sick.
People are still getting sick.
Regardless. You know what?
You're going to tell me shot number 6 is now all of a sudden going to work?
No, the vaccine came too quick.
And it's not a vaccine by its own science. Hey, remember, follow the science? This is not meeting the criteria of a vaccine. A vaccine is supposed to prevent or inoculate. It doesn't do either.
Well, there just wasn't long enough time to have any trial periods.
Well, there wasn't.
And I mean, the fact that they just opened up the birthday box and said, "Here we go, we're going to have these
vaccines.
This is going to be the end all be all.
This will be great."
And I've known some folks that have taken it and they have gotten sick.
Yeah.
I've known some people that have just recently got the vid.
And, right.
You know, the thing is they never had the shot, but they just finally got the vid. And I think it just takes a while for this.
I think getting the vid is a good thing at this point because there's something called natural immunity, which I got almost right from the beginning. I found out that I had COVID from donating blood, and they said you have positive antibodies. And then I started doing my research. And what that did is they could use my blood, duplicate it, and give it to people to help them fight COVID on a natural level by blood work, by a blood transfusion. So it's like, in a way, I kind of felt like Superman. I was like, oh, I got good COVID blood. You know, the good COVID, if you can call it that. I don't know what else to call it that.
Well, they called it antigens, and the antigens were what were fighting the virus, and
right.
Because they were already trained to identify the virus, those blood cells would go and fight the virus.
And
if you already had
it, helped.
It helped. And if you had it already, then you built up what we say is immunity. But there has been a few folks that have gotten it twice or three times.
And they have all the shots. So what's up with that? Well, you know what they're trying to sell you? Well, it lowers your conditions or the
effects.
The effects of it. I'm sorry, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that proven one way or another. Matter of fact, the people I know who had 2, 3, 4 shots, whatever it is, and got COVID again, still got really sick. So to try to sell me on, well, it lowers the effects. I haven't. We've known people that were out a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, And all various different categories have had, they had the shot, they didn't have the shot, they had a few shots. I haven't seen it proven yet that what does it do for you? And I'm not convinced that it's supposed to lower your effects of COVID. I'm just not there. I'm not there.
Well, the problem is there's different strains. So the one type of vaccination
doesn't have any effect on the next one.
Is only targeted for one type of strain. You would have to take, like, how many strains are there? There's at least a half a dozen. And you would have to take like six different vaccines, and then the strain mutates again.
May not be effective. Kind of like the flu.
And there's just not enough scientists to be able to be on top of things to make this thing work.
Yeah.
And it's just and
the possible side effects, which are denied. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because it is getting a little conspiracy theory-ish. But there are side effects that the industry does not want to talk about. And
the
myocarditis, the heart inflammation. And the thing is that you haven't seen a single COVID vaccine commercial from the manufacturers, because anytime, like all these pills and shots you see, they have to list the side effects.
Oh, like these diabetes drugs and these dementia drugs and things.
Or you got
skin rash, psoriasis.
Right. You got a skin problem. Well, in the commercial, they tell you what possible side effects. Well, you haven't seen a single COVID commercial yet, or COVID vaccine commercial from these manufacturers, because they would have to list the side effects.
Disclose it.
And again, I know it's conspiracy theory-ish, but if you go to any of their websites now, guess what? On their website, they do put possible side effects. They finally admitted that there are possible side effects. However, you still haven't seen a commercial directly from it because they know that would turn more people off.
Well, it took a lot of guinea pigs to figure all that out.
And I'm not going to be one.
Absolutely.
All right. Break. Good segment. And 3, 2, 1. All right. Republican debate, man. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. I was interested to see what the field was going to look like this year.
I was too. But before we get into my commenting, my comment's going to be a comment. We're fucked, man.
Yeah, the field is...
I don't believe.
The field is a hard convincing. It's hard to convince me with this field. Let's just say that.
Well, these are supposed to be professional, grown adult politicians, and all I saw was a bunch of babies up on that stage.
Yeah, they were bickering about a lot of silly shit, and should be focused on things that are affecting the country.
Well, the real issues, and that's the thing. They didn't talk about the economy, which is the number one thing right now with inflation. They didn't even talk about it. And look at it this way. All these people are way behind Trump right now in the polling. So what I saw was a job interview for VP candidacy.
Yeah, I mean, they all need to realize that when we get down to the bottom here and figure out, you know, who is going to be the candidate that they're going to put on the, quote, Republican ticket, they're going to have to know that, hey, I've got to support that person, and I might be, you know, there's a lot of good people there. Let's say there's some people that could be potential good people.
Potential.
And, you know, the fighting between Ron and Trump is...
It's a turnoff.
It should stop. They should realize that, hey, at one point we should work together.
Well, luckily we didn't get that in this debate. But I tell you, Pence, DeSantis, I thought they gave a bunch of canned responses. It was rehearsed. You can tell. 20 years ago, that seemed to be our thing. 20 years. I would have never saw that. I thought Vivek was on fire at first, but then all his responses started to turn into just zingers with no substance to back it up.
I don't think he realized that those type of responses and the antagonization between him and Pence was going to happen. I don't think
he with Christie. Christie called him out and called him being ChatGPT.
That too, yeah.
Which I thought was funny, because I can't stand Christie, but you know what? I'll give fat ass, and that's what I call him. I'll give fat ass credit where credit's due. But I tell you what, Vivek got him right back, because he told him, you know, he told him basically, called him Obama, and says, here you got this young, brash guy with new ideas. And Vivek called him right back saying, hey, weren't you all good with Obama? And they did a video. Obama and Christie did a video years ago where they went to a carnival together, and they played carnival games together, and they're high-fiving each other, and they had some music mixed to it. It looked all fake, man. The one person I was impressed with was Nikki Haley, and don't take that as like I'm really impressed. It would be the most impressive out of the bunch. At least she called out Republicans on the spending. you know, because my problem with Republicans is they like to call themselves conservative, and I don't see anything conservative about the Republican Party. They're the swamp. They are the deep state. They are just embedded into controlling people's lives as the other party, but they like to call themselves conservatives, which I'm like, well, what does that really mean these days? Because there's nothing conservative about them. They still want big government, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm with you on all those things, but let's skip over to the beginning of when they opened up the debate. Did you see how they opened the debate? They did like a little plug for the country singer Oliver Anthony.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The Richmond, North of Richmond, right?
Yes.
Which is a great song.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
I really enjoy that song.
Yeah, and it's striking a nerve here with people.
I'm sure it does.
And, you know, that was interesting that, you know, they would play that. Although some of those people on the stage are part of the rich men out in Richmond. Well,
they were all rich men on North of Rich. The irony, right?
It was like, very irony
it's like
there.
It's kind of like these Hollywood types, right? These actors that want to sit there and call out the rich. And it's like, well, you are rich. But you know what it turns into when it becomes the guy or the lady that you support? Well, they're not like that. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Really? What kind of Kool-Aid are we drinking today?
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, I DeSantis had a few things to say that sounded good. I mean, when he did his plugs, everyone was a plugger that day.
It was. And see, what it comes down to, they got another debate scheduled. I don't know when, but it's coming up. Trump needs to be there.
Yeah, it's too bad he wasn't there.
He needs to be there.
Yeah, because they were. It seemed like the whole cast there was lost.
If you're going to be a Republican candidate, I want the top Republican candidate there.
Yeah, and all of those guys seemed like they were lost.
It was all over the place.
They were.
It really was. I honestly, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched about 20 minutes, and I got sick of it. And I says, you know what? I know it's just the cliff notes the next day, but I'll get the highlights the next day because I couldn't stomach it, man. I'm just like, geez.
Well, I had a few notes here.
Well, what you got?
Yeah. So like when Ron DeSantis was talking, you know, one of his things was like, well, let's open up all the pipelines.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, they spent millions. The federal government spent millions of dollars on the Keystone Pipeline, and the president which is within his authorization stopped it. I was like, okay, well, you already built miles and miles and miles of pipeline. You're concerned about the environment. I'm trying to take their side for a second. I understand you're concerned about the environment. Okay. You stop the pipeline. Are you dismantling what has already been built? And I say, no, they haven't. They even got into it with the engines. One tribe they went through. And I know that's not politically correct, but the show's not politically correct.
No,
they got into it with a tribe because they were going to build the pipeline through the reservation, which, you know what? If I was on that reservation, I'd be a little pissed off about that, too. It's like, give me a break. However, okay, so now you cancel the pipeline. What are you going to do about the pipeline you built through the reservation? Are you going to get rid of it? Because now, hey, sounds like an old man, but it's an eyesore.
Well, it's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there.
And so DeSantis says one of the things that's going to help this country is to open up all energy production as well.
All.
We need to like put a lot of underlines.
I'm all for choices, man. I'm all for many choices.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get it. People like electricity, like electrical. Okay, you want that? We'll make it available. You want hydrogen vehicles? You want... all these other
variety is a great thing.
Diesel, oil, gas. Let's
right, because when you have one entity controlling everything, then you don't get variety anymore. You don't get choices. And I think part of the problem with society is that, well, there's a lot of problems, but I know it's cliche to say that, but we're too tribalistic these days. You know, hey, you and I are just as guilty of this. Look at the iPhone versus Droid crowd. You know, Droid crowd swears up and down that their phone rules. iPhone people swear the up and down. Me, I don't get into that too much. It's just I've always only had iPhone, so I have no frame of reference, and I really don't have an argument in it. It's just, hey, I like what worked for me, and you know what? What worked for you, do that too. If you want an electric vehicle, if you want a hybrid, that's fine. But if I want a V10, 550 horsepower engine with a 7.2 liter, you know, size with, you know, the cubic and all that shit, you know that stuff better than me, then damn it, let me have that kind of engine, you know?
Well, that's all right. This is the land of opportunity. We shouldn't be given these limited options for
right.
vehicles,
we shouldn't have limited
transportation.
Options. We should have a lot of options.
We're in the United States of America. We should have a lot of options.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, oil shouldn't be our only option.
It shouldn't be our only
You know, option. we can have some electrical vehicles. I'm intrigued by some of them. But that's not going to be our only vehicle. That you know, you can't rely just on
one thing.
Yeah. Think about it. Here in Florida, if there's a hurricane and electricity's all knocked down mm-hmm. and everybody's driving an electrical vehicle, we're shit up the creek.
Where are we going to get our power from?
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, circling back to the storm the other day, I went with a buddy of mine to a convenience store here in town, and we didn't get hit here at all. As soon as we walked in the convenience store, the power was starting to glitching, and then it went out, and we started laughing. It's like, how did the power go out? We didn't even get hit, but somewhere down the line, you know, a transformer blew or a line pop off and the safety measures kicked in to shut down the power because, you know, you don't want all that juice running through a building. But, yeah, man, I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, and so Vivek even said that, he was on board with the drill and frack. And he said he was the only one on stage that could deliver oil to the United States.
And look at it this way. Under Trump, for the first time in decades, we were energy independent. And our gas prices showed for it, which then boosted the economy.
It did.
We became prosperous for a short little while.
Short time.
And then that stupid COVID hit. You know, COVID was a real thing. We're not deniers here. We're just criticizing.
COVID has affected this country.
We just criticize our response. So I like your idea of not all your eggs in one basket. Let's have, hey, diversity is a big term these days. Well, let's have diversity in our energy, man. I'm not against solar.
I am 100% definitely there for energy diversity,
yeah.
If that's such a word.
Even with my lawn equipment, man, I'm not totally ready to switch over, but a couple things. I've gone to battery because I look at it this way. I rarely use this stuff. Why not?
Well, I have battery-powered drills and saws. I've got
for years, right?
Yeah.
And they work.
They're great. But I still have the old reliable electric saw that I use when I really need that extra.
Or a corded saw.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, corded electric.
Right.
I have a handful of those things. I've got a corded drill, a corded sander.
Yep.
I'm going to use them when I really need that longevity.
When you need the longevity, when you need the torque, because the battery stuff, the torque just isn't quite there yet.
No, but when I need something quick, I need to screw in a screw or take a bolt out with the impact electric or the battery powered.
Right.
I'll use that.
Right.
And it works temporarily real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And other than that, you know, that's it.
Exactly. Well, anyways, back to the topic.
The topic
with the debate. I just I want to see Trump there next time, and I want to see him go against these other people and prove to me why he should be the candidate for the Republican Party. Right now, he's simply going by his popularity and his polls, which is working for him. But I think that's only going to go so far because, don't get me wrong, these people hear him. His rallies are still selling out with thousands and thousands of people going, despite all these indictments and everything. But those are your supporters, right? I want to see him go against these other people and tell me why he thinks he still should be the candidate for the Republican Party. Prove it to me, because I'm not just going to flat out give him my vote just because he happens to be the number one guy. The number one guy, that's being a sheep. That's drinking the Kool-Aid. Well, they're number one. I'm just going to go with that. Bull crap.
Well, I'd like to hear what the others have to say, even though there were a few guys up there that did have a few things that sounded.
Well, like the North Dakota governor. I didn't get his name because he was boring. But
Doug Burgum.
He called out from buying from China. And we've talked about, at least amongst us personally, that we got to start manufacturing stuff back in this country.
Yeah, we need to open up the factories again here, put some people back
to work. And they are, man. It, crazy enough, chips, like even on the tech sector, manufacturing, because here's the economic side of pumping up China, is that the reason why they sent stuff over there is because the labor was really cheap. Well, guess what we've done over the last 20, 30 years? We have boosted their economy, so their lifestyle is improving as well in China. Well, guess what that means? That means people want to get paid more. They have their own version of inflation. So then things aren't so cheap anymore. Then you start looking at importing. You know, you got to put them on containers. You have to put them on ships. That's a lot of diesel fuel. They have to get shipped over here. Then all these tariffs starts getting kicked in. It's not there yet, but it's getting very close to. It's not worth manufacturing China anymore because you start adding in all the fees. And then guess who ultimately pays? You and me as a consumer. So why not employ people back into this country like our grandfathers used to do and get back to that? And I'm not saying that we're going to stop international trade. You know, the electronics are still some of the best electronics are still made in Japan and Korea. But guess what? Even those countries send their manufacturing to China, you know.
Well, I think we can do anything here in the United States.
And yes,
Americans,
we can.
Americans have always been able to put their minds in.
And that's why we're patriots.
Physical efforts to good work here.
We still believe.
We do.
I definitely believe.
And I would love to see a lot of things come back here.
I would.
I remember years and years ago driving through the Rust Belt and just seeing miles and miles of factories and buildings where they built American products there, whether they were simpleton, little everyday items.
Whether it's widgets to cars.
Cars. I remember when cars were actually built here.
Yes.
Now they just bring the parts here and assemble them here, you know?
Right.
And it's just, and there's a lot of people that, you know, that can actually apply to jobs like that. You know, they're always thinking, oh, we've got so many professional trades and jobs here nowadays that no one's going to want to work that. That's BS.
Yeah, well, we have a topic for that in the after show. If you stick around. And
that's just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk about that more in depth.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that.
But you know, as far as the whole, they talked about a lot of subjects in this
the debate.
Mm-hmm. They talked about abortion. They talked about the November or January 6th.
Yes.
They were asking, did everybody agree with what Pence had done during that time?
The period. Certifying the vote.
Certifying the vote. A lot of the guys were with. A lot of guys weren't. They talked about drugs and taking on the drug cartels.
Well, and you and I both know a lot of that is coming to the border, which, again, denial, you know, that the Mayorkas, the Homeland Security guy says the border's secure, yet the Rangers and the Border Patrol are saying thousands and thousands of people are still pouring across every day. And we're not talking just Latins. They're busting people from China and other nationalities.
All over the globe.
So then these people are getting shipped to the sanctuary cities, and now the sanctuary cities are pissed off at Governor Abbott, the Texas governor, for shipping. And, you know, Ron DeSantis did a little bit of that, too. I look at it this way. If you say there's no border crisis, then where are these people coming from? You know, because last I checked, cloning is not quite up to par yet as far as instant people. So where are these people coming from? And again, it's the denial that our border is a problem. And like you said, with the drugs, with fentanyl, which is scary as crap, and you get a little bit of powder on your finger can kill you. You know, there are so many things that need to be addressed that people are just denying. And I didn't really get a good answer out of any of these candidates with this debate.
No, it was scattered, and you're right about all these things, and these were topics that they were talking about, and a lot of these guys, instead of focusing on answering correctly, they were just talking about their past record.
Right, and the zingers, and again, the canned responses.
And no one cares about your past record.
It's so fake, man. It's so fake. It's just like, I can't believe you people are running for president, and you're telling me this BS.
Yeah, the whole BS is they're, you know, what I did in New Jersey, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and then Christie was called out on that with his credit rating and everything. I was like, your credit rating still went down as governor. I was like, well, later on, he had a statement a day or two later. Well, it got better later on. Oh, did it? Just because you say it does? You know, just because you say it does doesn't mean it did.
And Pence didn't really have a lot to say because, you know, we know about his record.
No, I don't. He's one of the people I trust the least when it comes to being up there. But hey, we'll see what happens in the next debate. Definitely, if folks who listen to this show, we'll have some more stuff to opine. You got anything else to add to that, to the debate, and we'll move on?
No, it's all good. It's
okay,
all good.
Cool. All right, so concert, man. You and I recently went to a concert, man, and just to let the folks know, we went to the Mid-Florida Amphitheater here just outside Tampa, Florida, and we saw four bands that night. We saw Filter, Ministry, Alice Cooper, and Rob Zombie. So what'd you think of the show, man? Because this is your first time at that venue.
Yeah, the Amphitheater and Amphitheater over there at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. Went there on a Saturday night with Chewy. It's a really nice venue.
Ain't it?
It's really nice.
And the tickets were cheap.
The layout is beautiful.
$70.
$70 wasn't bad for that freak show.
Yeah, well, that's the catch. It's outside, so being in the Florida hot heat. But I made sure we got a seats at least underneath the cover. So
I didn't feel no heat.
Yeah, well, it was hot, but You know, the thing about that amphitheater, because the way they design the roof and everything, that we do get a nice little breeze that comes through, and they literally installed the big ass fans. You know,
they had a lot of those big ass fans up there.
You know, like some people think we're joking. No, there actually is an industrial level ceiling fan called Big Ass Fan.
Yeah, the propellers are like 30 feet long.
Oh, they're huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
Huge
stainless steel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great venue. The seats were comfortable. Stage, I could see it.
Yeah, I saw the stage.
They had a lot of
the acoustics were great.
Acoustics were great. A lot of room when we sat. I didn't feel cramped.
Right.
Like when you go down to the Amelie, I feel cramped there.
Yeah.
The
Ice Palace, please.
The Ice Palace as well.
I have a hard on about that. People who know me know I hate calling it all the other corporate names because it originally started out as the Ice Palace.
Well, it was the Ice Palace.
It still is.
I was impressed. They had a lot of vendors. Of course, it was expensive, but that's to be expected. But we got us a couple Tall Boy beers, a couple Miller Lights.
Two beers.
Yeah, a couple Miller Lights.
We didn't get too stupid.
I got myself a popcorn.
You did get yourself a popcorn. You didn't take advantage of the endless popcorn. But, you know, so these bands, neither one of us had never seen them live. So let's start with the top, man. What did you think of Filter?
Yeah, Filter was pretty good. They're like an alternative rock group. They come from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
The original guitarist from Nine Inch Nails was the lead member.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Jane's Addiction, but you said Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails.
I was surprised when he said they've been around since 91.
Yeah, they had been around since 91. And, man, the music they were putting out was really catchy.
I was impressed.
I was their guitars. And
like, I only knew half of their songs, and they only played 8 songs, I think. But I did know some of them. I didn't realize I knew Filter, you know?
Yeah, and he's headed up by Richard Patrick. That's the guy that he inherited that, or not inherited, but he got famous from the Nine Inch Nails, and then he started out in 1995.
Okay.
And, you know, they had a lot of hits, and they're alternative rock. It's got some catchy beats,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I really like that. I never been like a big Filter listener. I've heard them on the radio occasionally, but I'm going to start listening.
Well, yeah, same with me. I'm more of a fan, and that's the thing. I think it's always important because the headliners were definitely Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie, which we'll get into in a minute. But a lot of people skip the openers, and I think seeing some openers are important because, first of all, they're trying to get their name out there, and two, I've been quite surprised by openers. You know, there have been plenty of times I saw an opener, and I was like, I like this group. So, you never know. Plus, you've already paid for the show. So why not get the full experience? Like I said, Filter did like 7-8 songs. And then Ministry came up after them. What'd you think of Ministry?
Yeah, they were very loud.
They were loud. Yeah, I put in my earplugs. Remember
them boys
that?
Came in, they took the amps and cranked them all the way up.
Yeah, they definitely cranked it up.
But it was good sound.
I enjoyed them because, people don't know Ministry. They're like an industrial rock and like, well, what does that mean? A lot of synthesizers, not too much of the blah, 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 but they do a little bit of that. I don't want to scream into the mic here with the. They only do a little bit of that because I can't stand that the whole time, you know. But I didn't realize after looking them up that they've been around since 1981.
Yeah,
I'm like, dang, like the lead singer's in his 60s.
And they're from Chicago.
They're from Chicago. Yeah.
And that's, I guess there was an industrial movement in, you know, as far as industrial music movement.
Yes.
In Chicago. And that was, pardon my mic adjustment here. There was some type of industrial music, you know, probably like in rave clubs back in those days. Mm-hmm. And that's a type of...
I'm sure they started out small like every other band.
Sure. And, you know, they had some... And I noticed on their screens, they had these LED TV screens all over the stage. So while you were listening to Filter or Ministry or whoever...
Get a close-up of them.
They would show a close-up. Plus, they had their own, like, graphics and their own little like music video that went along with the song, which was very entertaining.
And they put the Trump mugshot up there
at the end of one of their songs. I don't remember what song it is.
That was great.
They played a song, and at the end, when the drums went down, they flashed.
And I'm not sure if they were pro or against Trump. I mean, the lead singer did say something, but I didn't quite catch it. Either way, I laughed because it was funny to see his mugshot up on the jumbotrons of that venue. So
yeah, and then after that, Alice Cooper came out.
Oh man,
and he's like the king of Halloween, man.
Well, yeah, yeah, and there was definitely a theme going with this concert, and again, you know, Pirate and I never seen Alice Cooper before, and I'm not going to tell you I'm the biggest Alice Cooper fan, but I love his legacy. He has been around since the 70s. He was a shock rock kind of guy, man. For a 75-year-old dude, he put on a hell of a show, man. He really did, man.
Yes, yeah. He's originally from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, and I like the songs, you know, Poison. Of course, he finished with School's Out for Summer, but there's a lot of other stuff in between I'd forgotten about, or a couple of songs, again, I admit it, I didn't know them. But, you know, what a show, what a stage performance. How about the guillotine when he got his head cut off and everything?
Yeah, there was this big, tall lady. I don't know if it was his wife or what.
Right.
She came out. She was at least 10 or 12 feet tall. Mm-hmm. She must have been on stilts or something.
Right.
And she comes out, and he runs up the stairway, and there's a big guillotine there.
And he gets his head chopped
off. And then he sticks his head in there, and I don't know how they did it.
I don't know how they did it either, because it looked like that was his head in there. He was still moving around and everything.
Yeah, and then she picks the head up on the ground, makes this crazy face.
Walks around with it.
Walks around. There's guts dripping out from it.
She played this French revolutionary kind of lady. It was definitely a French dress from their own revolution from the 1700s. And she was walking around with Alice's head.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then he came out at the end and, like, his head was back on.
Yeah, of course.
And he was just singing away.
And you notice he didn't really talk to the end of the show. And I think that was because he wanted to keep his performance going, because he did have a lot of wardrobe changes and everything. So part of that is his show, that it's kind of a stage thing. You know, I mean, obviously it's a stage, but, you know, little Broadway light, you know,
He had like almost like a rock opera going on.
Yes.
And he would change, depending on what song it was, he would change his wardrobe to match the song.
Right.
Like when the Feed My Frankenstein song came out.
Yeah, Feed My Frankenstein.
Remember that big ass Frankenstein came out on the stage?
Yeah. We filmed a little bit. We took some pictures, but yeah, great show. And then Rob Zombie finished out the night, and it turned out that on this tour that they switch nights. Like sometimes Alice Cooper will finish, but Rob Zombie finished. And I think you and I agreed. I was most excited for Rob Zombie because it just, his style, I'm going to create my own style for him. I call him Halloween Ghoulish Rock and Roll, because everything he does is something Halloween related. And the lights, the fire, his look, you know, even the band, like the lead guitarist came out with a like a clown kind of look. But, you know,
he wore that clown bald headed mask.
Right. He had the mat. Well, he had the paint on, but he had the dunce hat thing going, you know, like a party hat. And he kind of looked like, and he eventually changed all that, but he kind of looked like the Joker playing lead guitar. But that's what Rob Zombie does, man. I mean, even his White Zombie stuff. Of course, he did some White Zombie music. And then remember, he announced that for the 20th anniversary, they're going to, you know, do his House of Thousand Corpses and all that stuff. That they're going to bring that back. And I already own that movie, so I'm not eager to get to the theater and go see that again. But since I own it, I mean, I have my, you know, that's what I love about this time of the year, that Halloween's coming up, Thanksgiving, the holidays, and there's so many movies related to around that era. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna be watching House of a Thousand Corpses. But man, what a show. What a way to finish it off. Of course, he topped it off with Dracula. You know, that was the final song, and I love Dracula.
Oh yeah, people were really they were standing up and shouting and screaming, having a good old time.
And like back in the day, man, when you hosted parties for New Year's, man, I remember playing the CD on my Iowa.
We played the old White Zombie CD,
and now you have the DJ set up. It's all, you know, digital now through the iPad, through Apple Music. We don't have to do many CDs anymore. But definitely, if we do Halloween this year, man, I'm going to put that on the request list, man. You got to play some Dracula, man. And not everybody likes it, because it is a very hard rock and roll. But again, it's ghoulish. You hear the keyboards like you're walking into some kind of haunted house or something like that. Yeah, you know, and that's just as a style. So all in all, good show, man. And we definitely got another show coming up in October, man. We're going to be seeing George Thorogood and the Destroyers, and Sammy Hagar in the Circle. So two
rock and roll legends, and I'm especially excited to see George Thorogood, man. We're gonna be having a good time at that show.
One bourbon, one scotch.
I can't wait, man. And I love Sammy. I mean, his legacy on his own through Montrose, and then Van Halen, then back on his own. Sammy's a freaking man, dude. I mean, he's gonna play a lot of good songs as well. So yeah, definitely in future shows here, we'll definitely be recording more concerts, or not recording, but talking about more concerts.
Sure, we'll give updates. We were even talking about some new concerts that are up in the horizon that we're talking about.
The thing about the amphitheater, man. For $50, you can't beat that. Three Doors Down's coming in a couple weeks. I'm thinking of just going. I mean, if you want to go, that's fine. If not, I'll go by on my own. It doesn't matter to me. For $50, I'm like, I want to go to shows, man. I want to see these bands I'd never seen before. And I like Three Doors Down. They're a bunch of good old boys from Mississippi. If you ever heard them in interviews, you think they should be doing country with the way they talk. But no. Rock and roll.
I love them. The thing is over the last many years, you know, because of the vid, concerts were very, very much like non-existent
or super expensive. I mean,
because they were losing revenue and they just needed to try to make it back.
And it depends on the venue. At the Ice Palace, Amalie Arena, I paid over $180 for Iron Maiden just this past October. So that's it's insane. And that wasn't floor seats. That wasn't backstage passes.
That's just the average Joe.
Well, it was actually in the club level. So we got a little wider seats in the Ice Palace with a little bit of cushion. But it was like, I told my buddy I went with at the time. I was like, man, I don't think I'm going to be going to many more concerts if the prices keep paying like this. Like, don't get me wrong. Like the bucket list bands like Metallica paid the same price back in 2016, 2017. But I'd never seen Metallica before. I wanted to see Metallica. So totally worth it, but got to be pick and choosy. And what I worry about is Brian Johnson of AC/DC talked about doing a tour, and I was like, you know, you and I are going to go to this show, but we're going to be credit carding that because
it'd be like $300 tickets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for the third deck, right? I don't see this being a cheap concert, but I tell you, man, I got to see AC/DC, man. They got so much music to play. I wouldn't be surprised if the concert's just them. Some of these bands have been around forever. Like when I saw Rush back in 2017, 2018, their 40th anniversary tour, there was no opener. It was them for the 3.5 hour show. And it was so cool because they started for them their new stuff and they went back in time and went backwards. So, and they admitted two intermissions, that's it. And then we finished with the last song, whatever it was going to be. But that's what happens with a band like AC/DC. They got so much stuff to do. And now if there's an opener, of course, you know, you're going to go see them, but I could see them doing this tour just by themselves.
Absolutely. I think they could. They've got enough material. I mean,
yeah, I want to hear Balls.
I like to hear Big Balls big time.
That's my
favorite song.
Yeah, stand by for a future, another future review when we go see George Thorogood.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a show on Amazon Prime, because everybody's got Prime, you recommended to me, Pirate, called Outer Range. Why don't you tell me a little bit about this show?
Oh, yeah, this is a sci-fi cowboy
type ranch
type movie.
But set in modern times.
Set in, like, the modern times.
Now.
And I think it was, like, set in, like, Texas or something.
Or what?
Oklahoma, maybe.
I thought it was Wyoming.
Maybe it was Wyoming. Yeah, it was somewhere out west.
Yeah, kind of like Longmire and Yellowstone.
Was Wyoming.
Probably all know each other in the big universe, you know?
Yes, they do.
You know, Longmire knows Kevin Costner's family, the Duttons, and then, we're tangenting off. Sorry.
Don't forget Ashton Kutcher's The Ranch with the...
Kutcher, The Ranch. That was Colorado. Right by Wyoming.
They're all in Stone's Throw.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, don't let the sci-fi aspect dissuade you from it. It's I saw it as 95% ranch, 5% sci-fi.
Well, see, I watch a lot of those cowboy movies and ranch movies. I just like that stuff.
Well, the thing is like, I told a friend about it the other day, and he goes, what is it, like cowboys versus aliens? I was like, no, not that far. I don't know if you saw that movie or not with Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig. That was over the top.
It was silly.
Yeah, it was silly. And even me being a sci-fi guy, I was like, you mix alien spacecraft and cowboys. Okay, that's now we're... Now we're a little far-fetched here, you know, and I love The Extraordinary, but this was like, You know, maybe it was just the story wasn't that good.
Well, without giving any spoilers.
Yeah, we won't spoil
it. The breakdown is it's just Josh Brolin is the main character.
And we love Josh Brolin. Yeah, hey, again, Bran from Goonies, right?
Yes.
Thanos from the Avengers movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was just this brash and tough guy, rancher.
Rancher, owned a lot of property.
Owned all this property, you know, yes. Struggling ranch, small family.
Yes.
And, you know, they discover this this somewhat...
hole in the ground.
What is that stuff called?
Paranormal
hole in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. He discovered it, but we can't tell you too much about it without spoiling it because this is a fairly new show. We try not to spoil anything new because it is a new show, but it's only 8 episodes, so it's easy to get through it. But you recommended it to me, and I finally got around to the list because you get the, oh, you got to watch this. Oh, you got to watch that. Hey, there's only so much time during the day, right?
Yeah, it's just a great show. It moves quickly.
It's different.
And I like it. Keeps you on the edge of your seat,
don't
you?
Yes.
And I loved every part of it because it had the ranch at some points. It had that cowboy point at some points.
Yeah, a little bit of sci-fi
would kept me on my seat because I was like, I don't like total sci-fi. So
yeah, it wasn't total sci-fi. That's why I'm trying to explain to people here. If you're listening to the show, if you're not a big sci-fi fan, don't worry about it. It doesn't distract from this is because one of the sons is a rodeo guy.
Yes.
And he goes through his struggles of being a rodeo guy. His confidence is not there and everything. But, you know, and I'm not even the biggest rodeo guy, but I appreciate his being Americana. You know,
rodeo.
I
mean,
if you ever told me, hey, Chewy, you want to go to a rodeo? I've never been to a rodeo, but you know what? Fucking, hey, I'll go. Why not?
Well, it looks like we're going to have to break that cherry because I'd like to take you to a rodeo.
I'd love to go to a rodeo, man.
We have a lot of rodeos.
My boots.
Well, we can bring your.
I have to go to Russell's.
Okay.
I got rid of my boots a while ago because they got worn out. I did actually. And look, I am not a country guy at all, but I appreciated it being part of the American culture. When I did work in the office back in the day, every Friday we had Jeans Friday. I wore my boots and people loved it because that's not me. I'm sure you didn't even know that story that you're like, what? Should we wear cowboy boots?
You wore cowboy boots. I like that picture of that.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, no one took a picture of that, but it was always Friday that my coworkers can count on me to walk in the office with jeans and some cowboy boots, man. And they were nice. They had a little silver at the tip too that I would polish up because, you know, being in the Marines, I know how to polish some boots. You got to make them look nice. You know?
You never wear dirty boots unless you're working out in the field.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, if we go to a rodeo, man, I got my Wranglers. I already got my Wranglers. So
well, with the fall coming and the winter coming, you know, that's rodeo season here in Florida.
Well, you know what? Let's make that a thing, dude. I want to go to a freaking rodeo, dude.
All right. I know where
I've had opportunities to go and I shot it down for one reason or another, but now I'm feeling like, you know what? Kind of like all these concerts. Am I the biggest fan of these bands? No. But you know what? It's entertainment. It's fun. Why not?
Hey, it's on the bucket list, right?
Well, you know, it wasn't on the bucket list until we were just talking about it right now. All of a sudden, I made it a bucket list.
Did you hear that in the background?
What's that?
Oh, that was the rodeo dropping in the bucket.
Oh, yeehaw! You know, but
well, the Outer Range is a kick-ass show, y'all.
It is, dude. It's different, man. That's what I liked about it. I was like, you know, like 15, 20 minutes in, I'm like, I like this show.
Well, after I wrapped up watching the Yellowstone 5,
you were feeling cowboy,
and I just seek out that on the all the shows, and I was looking around. I had just watched the Sylvester Stallone Tulsa
King,
and that's kind of the same. Got a little
cool show though,
little gangster, little cowboy in it.
Yes,
and I was like, damn, I'm really jonesing for another cowboy type show, and you know. They delivered. There it was. And I watched it on Netflix.
Right,
so
right.
All of a sudden, there it was. I started watching it. So I did 2 or 3 episodes a day. By the end of the week, I was like, wow. And I just was like kind of let down because I wanted to see more episodes.
Well, the thing is that like our preference of movies couldn't be more different because I'm more of a sci-fi, comic book, action-adventure kind of movie. And you dig the cowboy stuff. But I tell you, the stuff that you have recommended to me, I enjoyed. Like, you got me to watch Longmire. Man, what a freaking great show. You got me to watch that movie Old Henry, which turned out to be, you know, spoiler, but this is an older movie. It turned out to be, you know, what's his face? Who's the name I'm looking for? Billy the Kid.
I like
you know,
Billy.
As an adult, But you had no idea. So sorry I spoiled it there, but hey, this is an older movie. You know, we're not spoiling Outer Range or because that is a newer show. But Old Henry, if you want to see a movie about Billy the Kid, because no one really definitely knew in the American lore, the legend, whether he lived to be an old man, which some people believe, and other people said he died young in a shootout. So this is another take on his character. But I enjoyed, you know, Old Henry, and now that you've given me Outer Range to watch, I'm like, yeah, that, you know, that kicks ass. But one movie I'll recommend it to you that you should watch is the Jack Ryan series on Amazon Prime. It's got John Krasinski from The Office. He plays Jack Ryan, who's a CIA agent. And if you like a modern day spy thriller, and not over the top, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not James Bond, and I love James Bond, but James Bond is about the extraordinary. This is about more realistic kind of stuff that you can buy into. You're like, man, this is pretty cool. So
that's something to look into.
So since I've watched like the last three or four of your shows, it's time for you to do some homework for me, you know?
Yeah,
because I know you'd like it. I know you'd like it. I'm not telling you to go watch a comic book movie here, because you'd be like, oh, nah, I ain't watching that.
Yeah, I'm not watching no cartoons.
But I tell you what, we talked about it forever. Now our next get together, man, we got to watch a Big Lebowski, man, because you knew how much I love that freaking movie.
I haven't seen it in years.
And I know you said you haven't seen a minute. We were supposed to do it about a month ago, and it didn't work out. But no, we end up watching American Pie, which still turned out to be just as funny, right?
Yeah, we watched Warm Apple Pie.
We watch them, oh, my God. Those movies. So, all right, ready for break?
Yeah, what else you got exploding?
We are exploding. All right, and I didn't write this down here. Let me make sure. 125. Of course, I'll edit this out. You're not going to hear this part of the podcast. All right, in 3, 2, 1. All right, Pyre, what you got here with some sports, man? You're our sports guy. I am a sports guy, too, but you took good notes.
Well, here's the sports on the Acabono Radio Network, the Pirate and Chewy sports segment. And we just want to thank you for listening, y'all.
Yeah, and remember, Acabono Radio, acabonoradio.com. Send a comment or suggestion to acabonoradio@gmail.com. We are on the Google.
Yes, we are. We're on the Google.
Yes.
So here's the sports segment for the Pirate and Chewy radio show. So recently our Rays have been pretty hot down here in Tampa.
Heck yeah.
And, you know, we're still
right behind Baltimore, man. We can't get them.
Two games behind. But yeah, our last few games, like on Wednesday, the Rays played the Marlins and got them 3-0.
A little interstate rivalry, so they swept that series.
Yep. And then they played the Indians on Friday.
Wait a minute. I thought they were the Guardians.
Or they are?
No, I know. Hey, that's our joke between us. Around here, we still call them Cleveland Indians.
We don't use those bad words.
No, they're still the Indians. And you know what? It's okay to say Indian.
It's okay.
It is. They call themselves Indian.
You know, if it offends you, you can turn the channel.
I don't want to hear it. Yeah, and I don't want to hear that's their own N-word.
No, it isn't. Well, so the Indians played the Rays, and,
yes,
and it was 3-2 on that game.
3-2. Oh, so, they did a 5-game series?
Well,
or the last score was 3-2.
3-2, yes.
Yes, so I didn't see that.
The Rays were 2, Indians were 3.
Right, the Indians took the game last night.
They did take the game.
Yes, they took the game. Okay.
And, of course, on Saturday, it was Rays 6, Indians 7.
Okay, okay.
And, of course, today at 4:10, they're actually playing right now. I don't have any updates as we're speaking. I could probably check here shortly.
We will.
But they are playing Rays versus Indians. And then, so, you know, the Rays will be going to Boston the next three games.
The Sox.
Against the old Sockies.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be good. The one thing is that we have a lot of teams starting to catch up here. We got the Baltimore Orioles, 84-51.
We're close.
The Rays, 82-54.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Braves 90-45.
Yeah, but they're in a different division.
Division.
Yes.
We've got the Dodgers 83-52. The Brewers 76-59. And let's switch back over to AL. Some other teams in the AL. We got the Twins 71-65.
Oh.
Mariners 77-58.
Yeah, so we're
right
rapidly approaching. Well, we're rapidly approaching the end of baseball season here, and these are the teams that are possibly going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, these are the teams that are definitely going to be in the playoffs, all these teams.
Granted, and they don't screw up too bad.
Yeah, and I think, well, we're going to be playing the Mariners after the Indians.
Okay, so that's the next series.
Yeah, after I was looking way down the road because the Indians are going to play them in a 4-game stretch
okay.
up there in Seattle.
Okay.
That's going to be, you know, a tough game for
yeah,
them,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And they have a hard time sometimes going over to the West Coast.
Well, the travel, you know, hey, these guys are adults too. They party a little bit, you know, especially when you play every day, you're definitely going to party a little
bit.
You
got to let loose a little bit.
Yeah, you got to let loose. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no other things going on yet because the Buccaneers are on a bye week because the upcoming Sunday.
Well, remember, college football started yesterday, though.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay, you got that coming up. Okay,
so
I got some things to opine on with college football.
Okay, very good.
Okay,
so the Bucs were still September 10th, next Sunday.
And who's our first game?
1 p.m. against the Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota? Yeah. We're playing the Vikings.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game.
We're playing Brett Favre's team for one season.
Brett Favre, when he played on that team for one season.
Yes, which was weird to see that. I remember that. I'm like, what?
I don't know too much about this team right now, the Vikings.
I haven't paid much attention. I pay attention to our Buccaneers, of course. But, yeah.
Well, then again, this isn't a sports show, so y'all, you know.
Well, it's all over the road with Pirate and Chewy, so this is the sports segment. You
this
know.
Is a segment.
By the time some of y'all listen to it, it'll be old news, but whatever. We're passionate fans.
We are. We really like our Bucks. We really like our Rays.
We love our Lightning.
We're still about a month away from.
We got a little bit before hockey.
For hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
And college has started. This weekend it started.
And I watched some games yesterday, man.
So what games did you watch?
Well, yesterday I had to watch the Deion Sanders debut with the Colorado, I think they're the Bulls. I don't know. I might be totally screwing that up. But they played TCU, the Horned Frogs.
Uh-huh.
And a back-and-forth game, man. You know, and TCU's ranked. A lot of people disagree with rankings early. But good game. And then... Yeah. Watched the debut game of the University of South Florida Bulls. Go Bulls! They played Western Kentucky, and it was a back and forth game for a while, up to about the third quarter, and Western Kentucky pulled away. And then last night, watched my Mountaineers take on Penn State, the Nittany Lions, and unfortunately, they came short in that game too. But there's supposed to be more games today because I didn't realize college weekend. They play on Saturday and Sunday since the NFL's not playing yet. But I tell you what, man, it was nice to turn on ESPN yesterday and watch some game day, man. Game day's an all-around good show about, you know, what's coming out, what's happening with the season, what teams are doing what. And I think a lot of the focus is definitely going to be on Deion this year since he took over Colorado. But hey, they, you know, his son is playing quarterback. Some might say a little bit of nepotism right there, but you know what? I'm pretty confident with Deion Sanders that he is like, hey, just because you're my son doesn't mean you get the automatic starter position for quarterback. But I don't know his name, so I'm just going to call him Mr. Sanders. He's got a name I didn't get off the top of my head, but or couldn't remember off the top of my head. But he did a pretty good job, man. And like I said, it was an exciting game, and I know they scheduled it on purpose on national television at noon to kind of kick off Saturday because, you know, hey, this is Colorado, you know, this is Deion's debut as a head coach for a power conference. I mean, did you catch any games yesterday?
I didn't catch any college yesterday. I was out there mowing the hay field yesterday.
Yeah, well, I know you're not the biggest college fan either. You're more of an NFL guy. But
I watch it occasionally, you know, if there's a point where I got some downtime and I see a few of them games, I'll turn them on.
And I just love this time of the year because there's so much to watch. I mean, I'm not even the biggest soccer fan, but the Premier League started if you're into soccer. That started too. So we'll definitely have some things to talk about, highlights and stuff. But, you know, like I said, college football started. The NFL's kicking off next week. We got a month of Lightning. Major League Baseball playoffs are rapidly approaching. If you're a basketball fan, a couple of our friends are. The NBA is about to kick off along with college in about another month.
Well, we're getting to that time of year,
just
man.
That, I love this time of year when it comes to sports, man. There's just
plus the playoffs start eventually in October for baseball.
Right, we got the playoffs.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
So. And a side note, I think that the University of Colorado is the Buffaloes.
The Buffaloes. Okay. So it's like Kevin Costner from Dance with the Wolves. It's a Tatanka.
Tatanka.
He when he was talking to the Sioux Indians, he used Tatanka.
Tatanka.
Sorry, you can't see this, but I'm doing the Kevin Costner horns when he was talking with the Sioux Indians, the tribes that he met. You know, he was like Tatonka.
Yeah, he got the chewy horns on.
Yeah,
got the
yeah, yeah, yeah. Chewbacca doesn't have horns, but Chewbacca has horns right now because he's doing Tatonka.
Yeah,
you got little... anyone who's seen Dance with Wolves knows what I'm talking
you
about.
You got the little 3-inch long indent speaker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you know buffalo horns are kind of small, so you know that kind of makes sense. You know, like the Tatonka, you know.
So, that's funny.
Yeah, good stuff. Ready for break?
Yeah, let's...
Okay. All right, in 3, 2, 1. So kind of a sad segment to talk about here, man. We lost a great Jimmy Buffett, man. I know you're a parrot head, and so am I. You know, he's been around my whole life. So you know, am I a diehard fan? No, but I love the guy. I love his music. So What you got to say about old Mr. Buffett here?
Well, throughout my entire life, I just remember good things about the guy.
Always good things.
I mean,
he's just fun.
It's just a big void right now for me.
It is. Kind of sucks, man.
And I know that time comes for everyone.
It does.
But it's just...
This one stinks.
This one does. And it just, every memory I have of this guy is a good time.
Party guy.
It's and just not even him. It's just when I live through his music... It was good times whenever I heard his songs.
Right.
It was always a turn it on while I'm going down to the beach, or turn it on when we got some friends over, or just turn it on when you want to get in a good mood, because his music, you know, you could live through his music.
And you know, you're right. I, you know, even if you weren't the biggest Buffett fan, I never knew anyone who said they don't like Buffett. I don't think I've ever met anybody who says they don't like Buffett, because his music was just fun. Maybe some bias because he's a Florida guy like we are. The Keys more specifically, but you know, and the thing was, even the music industry, I know in the 70s had a hard time classifying what type of genre is, because he does have a country sound to him, but he also has a island tropical sound to him, you know, and a little bit of rock, you know, but nothing heavy, right? And he was just telling stories, you know. It just that's the heart of country music. You're telling stories. I know a lot of music tells stories, but really, really in that genre, it's about telling stories, you know.
Sure. Well, so here's the scoop. So Buffett passed away. I have a cause. It's he was fighting Meckel cell skin cancer.
The irony that he passed of skin cancer being a Florida guy.
Yes. And, you know, he's out in the sun a lot, I'm sure, on a sailboat, or he grew up in the South. I mean, everyone's out in the side, out in the sun. He was a beach goer, you know, those type of things, fisherman.
And that's why it's important to cover up, man, whether you're using lotion or clothing. You know, don't let yourself get burnt like that, man.
You just never know. And so he passed away September 1st at age 76.
Yep, just 2 days ago as the time of this recording.
He was a singer, songwriter, author, sailor. He was a pilot.
Really? I did not know this about him.
He was a big time.
The sailor thing doesn't surprise me, but he was a pilot.
He owned several airplanes. I was going to take notes on him, but there was just a lot of notes to take.
Yeah.
He was a sailor and a pilot. He had his own jet. He had a Cessna. He had one of those, I don't know the term for it, the boats with pontoons on it.
The amphibious boats.
Yes.
Because they can land in the water. They can land on the ground. Right, right.
He had a lot of
airplanes. Man, he's a pilot. Oh, that's fascinating.
Sure, and he was an entrepreneur big time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's born. Here's another thing. He was born on December 25th.
Really? He's a Christmas guy.
Yeah, and so he did always, he had a few Christmas songs that he made, and he was always happy about Christmas.
Well, I want to get his Christmas CD now. Oh, I want to hear the Christmas versions of his take on, you know.
I have it. It's great.
Okay.
So he's born in Pascagoula, Mississippi. You know where that's at?
I know where Mississippi's at, but I don't know where Pasa, blah, blah, blah.
It's right there on the Gulf Coast, right there, just on the other side of
Mobile. So he grew up in the water even before he immigrated to the Keys.
Yeah. So he lived in Mobile. He lived in Fairhope, Alabama.
He's a Southern guy.
I think he spent some time as a young child also in Panama City.
Well, no wonder his music sounded country. He is a country guy.
He's a country boy.
Yes.
And as a child, he was exposed to sailing through his grandfather. And as a musician, he communicated those experiences through his songs, of course.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, definitely definitely heard it in a lot of his songs.
Yeah, and he began his music career in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, of course, back in those days, you know, his genre wasn't even invented yet.
Right. He had his own style.
Yeah, and
really
of course,
did.
So he went to Nashville, of course, as many musicians do.
Music City, man.
That's Music City.
That's where you go.
And then, you know, he ventured south. You know, he made an album up there. And then he ventured south with a friend called Jerry Jeff Walker. He was mm-hmm. a musician. Mm-hmm. And he took him to Key West, said, hey, this is where you need to go.
Yeah.
And he took him down there to kind of relax himself. And, you know, he got into this easygoing beach bum type of island persona.
Well, can you imagine, you know, like Key West now is a big tourist thing of Florida. But can you imagine in the 60s how quiet it probably was back then? It wasn't that populated yet. You know, I can dream of how quiet the Keys were back in the day. Because I've been to the Keys several times. So not particularly Key West, but I've been to the other Keys. I've been to Key West. Don't get me wrong, but Key West more popped off as like a tourist trap, you know. But I've been to the other islands, like Key Largo, more in particular. Quiet, dude. Even to this day, and it's like the first major island, but quiet.
Well, I imagine back in the '60s, there was still a lot of fishing villages and in just kind of not too much tourism going on. Maybe a few retirees going
old,
there.
Old town feeling. Everybody town knew feeling. Each other.
Sure.
You probably had your local pub. Everybody went to. You know, heck, maybe that's where he got inspired for Margaritaville.
Well, it was. And, you know, his music started to, you know, he started playing at some local bars there. And his music started to become a mix of country, southern rock, folk, calypso, and pop.
Oh, so you found the genres. Okay, so cool, dude.
He has a coastal and tropical vibe to him.
Yes, definitely.
And, you know, of course, his most famous song, and it was one of the first songs I had ever heard as a young child, was his famous song was Margaritaville.
Okay.
Released in 1977.
Wow.
And then, you know, down the road, you know, he made many, many, many hits and songs and played all over. But, you know, there's a couple memorable, like It's 5 o'clock Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Partnered with Alan Jackson.
Yes.
And, of course, it went instantly to the number one hit in country charts back in 03.
Right.
And so that got a CMA award for the vocal event of the year.
Heck yeah.
And you know, that was the first time he ever got any type of award in his 30-year career.
Really? He never got any kind of major recognition before,
because
huh?
His genre just doesn't, you know, bring that type of thing in. He just, you know, it's just like kind of like an outlaw type music.
Yeah, you know? And you know, like I said, I've always felt like he had a country vibe to him, but it was still different.
It was. And so Buffett toured regularly. Even towards the end, you know, he started to relax his schedule a little bit, and down to about 20 or 30 dates throughout the year. And you know, he was famous for when all throughout his time that he toured, he never had any back-to-back nights.
Oh, he'd give himself a break.
Well, preferably he liked to play only on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Really? That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he actually made an album. I have the album. It's called Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Okay.
And he made that album in 99 with that
his title. His true life being portrayed in music.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that the fans of Jimmy Buffett, what they're referred to as...
Parrot heads.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
And that all started back when they were in concert. And the guitarist called out. He said, look at all these fans out in the stands here.
Mm-hmm.
They all had inflatable, like, parakeets on their head.
Kind of like a Packer fans with the cheese heads.
Yes.
But they had parrots.
And he said, they look like a bunch of parrot heads.
Oh, yeah.
And that's cool. How it started.
Cool. And, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he toured a lot. And some of his best albums, I would say, are live. I mean, a lot of times when you hear live singers, you're like, well, their music's just not that good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Live, it's better in the studio. But right. This guy, it seemed like he was more livelier and just talked to the crowd more. And it just, the fans would sing back. And
well, I admire musicians where their concert sounds like their CD or their record, whatever you want to call it. You know, that lets you know that they're really genuine, that they're the real deal.
Well, the music, I mean, the guitar, the drums, all sounds the same as the albums.
Yes.
His singing, it's just as good.
Yeah.
And I've always enjoyed his live albums. The best one, I think, is You Had to Be There, made back in 1978. It's a collaboration of like four different mm-hmm. concert mm-hmm. venues that he played that year. One of the best, if you all have a chance, take a listen to it. It's
right.
Really good.
Right.
The other thing is, did you know that Buffett owned a lot of restaurants and casinos? And
well, I assumed he owned the Margaritaville restaurant.
He started the Margaritaville Cafe.
Yeah.
He had.
I'm sure that's busy because we got one here in Orlando at Universal Studios. I bet you that place is packed tonight.
I've been there.
Especially before. Labor Day weekend. Can you imagine? He probably couldn't get a table.
He's always had that restaurant busy. The Cheeseburger in Paradise restaurant.
And one of my favorite songs.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I did a tribute to him yesterday on my social media. We went to Bubba 33's with the niece and the boyfriend, and I made sure I ordered a cheeseburger, and I wanted to make sure there was a pickle on there and some french fries.
And I tell you what, it was delicious.
Yeah, and he also collaborated with Anheuser-Busch, our buddies, to come up with the Landshark Ale and the Landshark.
Really? He came up with Landshark?
Yes, he owned
that's the actually license. Pretty good beer that I don't drink too often, but I do like it because it's a good old lager.
If you look at the beer bottle, it says Margaritaville Brewing.
Oh.
I've drank it many times.
Okay.
And he also owned at one point the Landshark Bar and Grill.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting trivia here.
Here's another thing.
Very neat.
He was also an owner of two minor league baseball teams.
Whoa. He liked baseball.
Yeah. Minor league team in Miami, in Fort Myers, called the Miracle.
Okay.
And another one in Madison called the Black Wolves.
The Black Wolves.
Yeah. Neat. I mean, these are things that you know are little topics that folks probably just don't
know. You did your homework with some of this stuff, Jimmy, here.
Some of this stuff I already knew, being a Buffett fan myself all life long.
So you just jotted it down.
Yeah, I mean, he had license to the Margaritaville name, including many of the products, like the tequila. He has a Margaritaville tequila.
Man.
You know?
Sounds like we need to get some Landshark lager here, and now this tequila.
Yeah, and the chips and salsa, I've had that before, Margaritaville chips, and they have their own salsa. Their salsa, they have like a pineapple salsa, and they've had different flavors, tropical flavor.
I like the tropical flavors.
They have their shrimp. They have some type of shrimp, like okay. frozen food shrimp thing that he made.
Yeah.
The chicken, they have some type of chicken skewers. They even have their own brands of footwear, like sandals and flip-flops. And, of course, I've owned many of his Margaritaville clothing, like his hats.
Yes, I've seen you with some of their shirts, yeah.
And there's more items. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Well, I bet you that's going to explode now since he's passed on.
Yeah, his company reports that they make approximately $600 million a year just in the licensed Margaritaville products.
Dang! Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, he has the Margaritaville Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Okay.
That opened up in 2021.
Never been, but, you know, might be worth a stop one day.
If you're ever up there to visit Chris Christie, you can check that place out.
Yeah, we can go to the boardwalk together with him and Barry, right? We'll let Barry come out, too. Why not? Yeah, let's do an updated video with Chris Christie and Barry and myself and you as well. You know, we'll go hop skipping down the boardwalk together.
Sure, we can bring that up one day. He also owns a Margaritaville retirement village in Daytona, Florida.
Okay,
they say it's a $1 billion project. It's off the LPGA Boulevard over by the famous Buc-ee's, where you know the place
Buc-ee's.
I like to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have two other communities planned that are going to be starting in Panama City, Florida, and Bluffton, South Carolina, over there by Hilton.
Wow, so his legacy continues.
Oh, yeah, that project will be going on for years. They've already got people already committed to homes. And
doesn't stop just because he moved on or passed on, I should say.
And you notice they're all close to water or some type of theme that's a beachy theme.
Very Florida, too. Yeah, I noticed a Florida theme going on here.
Yeah, and they all have like their own like village stores and pubs, and they have probably a Margaritaville cafe. I've seen the one over towards Kissimmee. They have another one that's kind of like a Kissimmee-based one. That one's pretty nice as well.
Right.
He has a wife named Jane. He has two daughters and an adopted son as well.
Okay.
And when it's all said and done, and he's estimated to be worth $1 billion.
Ooh, bye. So, you know, it sucks that they lost the husband, a father. We as fans have lost a singer-songwriter that we love, but his legacy will at least live on forever, and that's the beauty of it. You know, it's kind of like when Eddie Van Halen, you know, I talked to you last night about this, you know, when Eddie Van Halen passed, and even though this wasn't from him, a fan put together a meme and it said, "I'll always be with you, just hit play." And I'm like, freaking A, man, that hits home, man. It's like, damn, okay, yeah. So it sucks, it's sad, but you know, that's the idea of our technology that, think about it, you know, up till the last 100 years before, your legacy was maybe in a book, and that's as far as it went. So now we have video, now we have audio, we've got things, so many things that can keep the spirit alive. So
definitely keep the spirit alive with Jimmy Buffett. I mean, one of the things I remember him always saying in one of the recordings I heard, he said people always used to ask him, "Hey, where the hell is Margaritaville?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Buddy, it's anywhere you want it to be."
That's awesome, man. You know, and one of my favorite songs he did was a cover. I love that he covered Brown Eyed Girl, but he made it his own version. Van Morrison. And I love Brown. I love Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl. It's one of my favorite 60s songs. But in the 90s, he covered it and then put it out on CD, of course, back then, back when we still used to make CDs. They kind of still do, but I heard it. I'm like, yeah, he put the steel drums to it and everything. I'm like, yeah, man, that's so Buffett, man.
It was very Buffett and classic, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Well, in closing to the this little show that we have here today,
yeah,
we're going to play one of my favorite Jimmy Buffett songs, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Yeah, so yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here. We're gonna pirate pick this. We're gonna do Changes in Latitudes as a tribute to Jimmy Buffett here, you know, and and why don't we get drunk and screw? Not me and you, of course, but you know, all those good things. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up the show. We had a pretty long show today, and you know, this is a lot of fun as always, buddy. But you know, like we said before, if you got any comments, suggestions, feedback, shoot us an email at akebonaradio@gmail.com, and then of course our website is just akebonaradio.com. And this is the All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewy, and this is show number 3. And we're going to wrap it up. So rest in peace to Jimmy Buffett. And we'll be talking to you guys soon.
Y'all have a great week.
All right. See ya. Show what a great song, man. I mean, we could turn this all into a Jimmy Buffett hour, but you know, this show's not about radio music. It's about two 50 something year olds yapping away here.
Sure.
But yeah, man, every time, you know, every time I hear Buffett, you're no right, I get happy with it. But so yeah, man, so the after show, we we kind of hinted at about earlier with trades and skills, man. I mean, you know, I think I don't even think it's definitely a problem in this country. And I don't want to use the word unfortunately. I don't know how else to phrase this. There are certain people that think that unless you have a college degree that you'll never amount to anything in life. And it's like, well, that's not accurate at all. Having a college degree doesn't automatically give you anything, because what's the idea of work? Work is to show that you have some kind of skill set. I don't care if you're working at a restaurant. I don't care if you're a janitor. I don't care if you're, you know, a guy on the side of the road that picks up trash, or a painter, or a carpenter, or or landscaper. Just anything with the blue collar stigma still requires some kind of skill set these days. And unfortunately, we have a huge shortfall in this country right now, because too many kids are going to college, getting BS degrees, and then complaining about how they can't find a job. And it's like, well, you've got the book smarts, but your book smarts don't apply to anything that you're trying to do out in the workforce. What do you think, man?
Absolutely, Chewy. I mean, the biggest thing that we have going on right now is that, you know, every company has a now hiring sign on the window.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Every truck.
Burger King, trucking companies, you name it.
Every plumbing truck, every electrician truck. Any welder, any guy that's doing some type of trade or service, he's got a now hiring sign.
But the shortfall is the skill, because they're just not going to hire somebody for the sake of hiring somebody. You come in there, you apply for a job like an electrician. Well, what's your background in being an electrician? Well, I really don't have any. I was like, well, you're kind of wasting your time, because being an electrician requires a huge skill set. It requires certain certifications to pass through. There's training. There's industry standards. And I tell you, the electrician who gets hired with no skill is the person who already knows somebody, and that's part of networking. But if I were to go apply for an electrician job right now, I probably wouldn't get it, because I don't have the skill set. And how do you get the skill set? Well, this day and age with the internet, you can do your own training. You can use YouTube to learn, which I've kind of self-trained, and that's why I'm kind of focused on the electrician thing right now. Not that I want to be an electrician. There's nothing wrong with me. Hey, I know plenty of electricians. It's a great freaking job. I'm just self-taught, because technology, like the internet, like YouTube, has offered up that avenue of, hey, you can do some of these things by yourself, and it saved me a lot of money. But if you're going to go into the trade, that you have to go to a vocational school, you have to go to a junior college and learn these skills so you can apply it out in the workforce. And that's the challenge right now, is it's like, man, we need people so bad. And there is this stigma going, especially with college kids. It's like, well, I'm not going to get my hands dirty or work outside or do anything physical. I just want to sitting in an office on my computer all day. And the irony is that I do that for my own job. But I tell you what, it's still not handed to you. Even in what I have to do, you got to learn. You also have to stay ahead of the game, because technology is always changing. I don't care what you do. And if you know, what works 30 years ago may not work here now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the biggest problem we have right now in the education system is a lot of our industrial and vocational training at the high school level and middle school level, mm-hmm. where these children and young adults get an introduction to these type of things. Because that's where it starts first.
Right, right.
Is getting these kids' young minds wrapped around the fact that this is also for people that the college route is not their way.
That's right.
Not everyone's cut out to be, you know, in the college realm. Not
exactly.
There's people that can do great things with their hands, and that's what you're doing. You're doing good. You know, you use your mind as well. But
of course, you're using your mind.
There are people that use their hands better than doing something where they're just using their brain all the time,
right,
which most college jobs are all about. And these programs have been shut down by the school boards, Department of Education's. For what reason? You know, we have our own opinions about it. But the problem is, it is now backfiring, because we have generation and generation.
Now there's a shortfall of skilled employment.
we have generations of these kids that just, there have been kids that have never come into contact with any tools.
Well, it's kind of like, I heard you talking to somebody the other day. I think we're out on our union meeting and you weren't talking to me, but you were talking to some dude about how you get these people to come work for you and they've never turned a ratchet in their entire life and they're 23, 24 years old. That boggles my mind. What, you never turned a ratchet before? I'm not a grease monkey, but are you serious? You know, just,
They don't know.
What do they do? Are they on their phones all the time?
Well, they just probably never, no one's in their family has ever been exposed to it. They just never had, you know, this is a shortfall of the school, the education system, their parents. This is a shortfall of people just not trying to find out how to fix things on their own.
And I was just going to follow into that. Like your sons, okay? Your sons are self-taught mechanics, okay? Because I see them in the garage. I see them out there tinkering. And I told them one time, I was like, hey guys, I need to tell you this. I think that's pretty cool what you're doing out here. You're taking apart this mechanical device, a motorcycle, car, whatever, and you're out here getting your hands dirty. And I know you're cussing because it sucks because you get pissed off. But, you know, your eldest son was like, you know, yeah, you know, but it's so much easier these days because if I can't figure it out, I can go on YouTube. And I was like, yeah, ain't that a great tool to have at your fingertips that you can literally go on your phone and look this up? But a lot of people don't think like that. And your other son, I you know, he was in the conversation too. And your youngest son told me, he goes, yeah, I go to school Monday and, you know, you catch up with your buddies and it's like, what'd you do this weekend? And your son was like, well, you know, I played a little Xbox, which typical kid does these days. Hell, I still play a little Xbox, but I also gardened. I also took apart my air filter on my motorcycle to try to rig up a better method to increase the horsepower. And your son tells me their friends are just blown away with it. And they're like, well, what'd you do all weekend? Whole lot of nothing. I just played around on my phone. So they didn't do any social skills, just hang out with your buddies like you and I used to do back in the day. And they played around on their phone all day. And it's like, you know what they're doing? They're looking at TikTok videos or doing Snapchat. They're not doing anything to strengthen their mind, to expand their mind. So here your sons, especially your one you got in high school, is Mr. Busybody, but also lazy teenager. You know, that's a, hey, we were there at one time, right? There are times you don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
But I think they enjoyed that I recognized what they were doing. And just gave him a hat tip of like, hey, you guys are out here, you know, you still play your Xbox when you go into your room later, which I feel is perfectly normal because I'm a gamer myself. But at the same time, they got sweaty, they got dirty, they cussed, they acted like men, even though one of them's still a boy, you know, and technically a boy. And I was like, that's what it needs to get back to, man. You know, and a lot of that came from you because when I knew you back in high school and I pull up to your house where you're out there, you got the whole damn car apart, man. I'm like, what's going on here? You know,
we're fixing it up, bud.
And you know, what? I was intimidated by that because I wasn't around that kind of, setting as a kid. And I tell you what, my old man did show me how to change oil in a car at 5 years old, which I still do today. He did the basics. He changed spark plugs. He changed the wires, but different times. This was the 70s where, you know, those engines back then were hell of a lot easier to work on, you know. Sure. But my old man is not a mechanic by any stretch of the means. So to see what you did in high school and you passed it down to your boys, I admire that.
You know? I took vocational classes and I took,
carpentry. You did go to a vocational school.
I took some vocational training in graphics and, you know, I did some other, you know, mechanics type classes and those type of things. You know, I learned for life. Those skills are skill sets that you don't lose.
And you're able to pass it down to your boys.
And those are the things that I think we're missing out as a society in this country. If we want to be a strong USA, I think we need to start again. You know, they need to get rid of this notion that everybody's just going to sit behind a keyboard or behind a telephone and be some customer service operator. It's time that we also have folks that can fix the plumbing, fix a broken board on the house, put a roof up.
Carpentry. Roofing.
Put tile up.
Yes.
You know, do construction foundations, you know, build a house from ground up.
And that's what I've always admired about.
Why do we need immigrant labor? Because we have a shortfall in Americans that'll do these jobs, and there's no
because the immigrants are willing to do it while the some Americans aren't willing to do it. You know, I guess that's what I've always admired about Mike Rowe, because he had dirty jobs. He brought back dirty jobs, but he has a couple of those other shows. And I like that he shows the side of America in the jobs that a lot of people these days aren't willing to do. I mean, he even had a female on his show one time. She's a welder. You know, she's pulling in. She's only like 28 years old, young lady. Hey, good looking lady. Uh-huh. But she's a welder, pulling in 130 G's a year, man. Making more than I make.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and that's freaking awesome, dude. That job is I love it.
That job is a needed, in high demand. There's always something broken. You know, my dad was a welder.
Got to put two pieces of metal together, right? That's basically what it comes down to.
He told me there's always going to be need for somebody to fix something, and that's where a welder takes over. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be somebody that's got a broken trailer, broken truck frame, you know, a broken angle iron on a building or a gate or... You know, something that needs to be manufactured.
You need something that needs to be fixed. You need something that needs a right.
Or if you need some fabrication going on, you know, if there's a custom homemade house with some expensive iron railings, you know, you need someone to
Well, having the tools helps as well, but that's what you have to do. You got to get past your comfort zone and give it a try. Even your son fixed the chain link fence gate several months ago, and that just blew me away, and I admired it. I was like, that is so cool. You didn't have to call up Bob's Fence Company, and no offense to any Bobs out there, but you didn't have to call up Bob's Fence Company to come out there and replace a gate. Your son took a look at it, put a piece of scrap iron on it. Is it the best welding job in the world? No. But you know what? I'm not out here to criticize. You got it done yourself. You did it yourself.
Well, I told him, I said, let's fix that gate. I said, it broke. And I said, let's get some angle iron from somewhere.
Yeah.
If we got any laying around, and just make a brace.
And then he hit it with some silver spray paint just to kind of make it look a little good.
I told him, let's paint that so it doesn't rust
again. I noticed shit like that, man. Yeah. That's what I like about your at least in your, you know, family, that the old school thinking is still there with a little modern touch, because I know you're not into gaming, but your boys are, and hey, we're about the same age. I'm still into gaming. I love video games.
Sure.
Well, you love the 80s stuff, which is cool. You know, like you come over and play too. Some pinball, some Pac-Man.
Yeah, I like all of them. Yeah, Space Invaders, Galaga.
Of course. But you like the old school stuff, which I do as well, but then, you know, that's what's cool about in your sons, and just the fact that you know, we you know, don't ever sell yourself short, even at our age. If we got fired from our jobs or your business fell apart, if you want to start over, you can, because there is a need out there. There is a demand out there, and you're never too old to stop learning. When you tell yourself that you're too old to stop learning, then you might as well go ahead and hang it up and put yourself into the ground, because our brains are we've got too much in this world to tell yourself you can't learn from that. Even just all the stuff you said about Jimmy Buffett, you know, you looked up all that stuff yourself, and I didn't know 90% of that, because I just considered myself just the average fan.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, the main thing is about this whole conversation is you know, what Mike Rowe brings.
Mike Rowe.
What he brings out there is, you know, there's a need for this movement where we can get young children, young adults, even the adults that are repurposing their careers or what have you, mm-hmm. and get them into some trades, just like you said.
Trade.
Just like you said, factories should open here again. Some of those jobs are related to trades, you know. Mm-hmm. And those are things we need to get back. We should not be in the United States afraid to roll up our sleeves. We should be a United States that rolls up our sleeves, puts our blue collar on, and says, this is what we're all about.
Exactly.
We are not this prissy society that we are turning into.
Well,
we look like this.
Some people are prissy, but you and I are not in that category.
No.
And I guess that's what frustrates us.
We are turning into this, I'm afraid to go to work and get dirty. I'm afraid to take that job because I have too much.
I'm afraid to get an ass chewing. I mean, because I know you do a lot of ass chewing in your work, but you know, but the difference is like some of these people these days are just getting a stern talk to from their boss. And then they tell all their friends, well, my boss yelled at me today. No, your boss didn't yell at you. Your boss told you you're screwed up and I want this fixed and that's it. You know, they want some yelling. They ought to come work for you when you get fired up. Hey, I get fired up too. I have known to go off even in my computer world at some of my coworkers, and they know, hey man, you better do this. Chewy's going to get pissed.
And it's like, yeah, because that's bullshit. You know that's bullshit because you're not fucking paying attention. You're our age. I don't want to hear the freaking excuses, man. That's what it is. I'm tired of the excuses for everything of why you can and cannot do whatever. You know?
Well, yeah, people shouldn't make excuses if they can't get employed. Like I said, there's always a trade you can go. There's all types of vocational schools for adults, whether they're in your area or not. There's also, journeyman or apprentice programs.
And it's networking. Talk to people. You have to network. And there's so many tools out there today. The LinkedIn, you can even use Facebook to network. The idea is just talk to people, find out what they do, and put it in your back of your mind. Hey, remember a few years ago, I got really frustrated with what I was doing. I was thinking of go being a groundskeeper at the golf course and only paid $15 an hour.
Yeah.
But I didn't care because I thought, how awesome would it be that I'm going to go out there and just cut grass and trim trees, stay away from the alligators, do different holes at the greens, fertilize, maybe take care of some golf carts later on. To me, I got it. Genuinely excited just even thinking about it. I'm like, man, talk about a 180 career change for me. But hey, why not?
I mean, there are some exciting trades out there, and I think mechanics are one of them, welders, landscapers is one as well, tree trimmers,
know what it is,
a handyman.
It's kind of like what we were talking about our mutual friend earlier, and of course we're not going to drop any names here, but some people get too hung up in what they're doing, and then instead of improving upon the situation, just complain about it all the time. And it's just like, well, either you're going to continue with this and be miserable, or you're going to continue with this and make it better, or you're going to do a radical change and move on from this so you can find your own happiness of what you want to do. Every single person I've talked to, especially since COVID happened, almost everyone I talked to were questioning their life choices. And it started because, even myself, I'm just as guilty of it. It started to become a joke. I started recognizing a pattern. It doesn't matter if you are a welder or a groundskeeper or a computer guy or an insurance person, whatever. I noticed everybody I knew was, in a way, complaining about what they do. And I just thought to myself, well, if you don't like it, change it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not doing something that you think you should be doing, you need to do something you enjoy to do, but you do well. When you do those two things, you're going to
And make, if you fail, you fail. Make, if you fail gonna, at it, you fail. You learn from it, right? It's a learning experience.
Well, and you're going to make the money eventually that you want to make when you're good at something. And
even you enjoy if you
it.
Don't.
Because when you're in a career that is just the money, but you don't enjoy it, it's really not worth it.
Well, money doesn't buy you happiness, and that's true. Because you know me, I'm a nostalgic guy, and I've known each other a long time, man. Let's go back to 1996, and again, no name dropping here, where we had the Southview parties. And you and I weren't making shit. None of us were. But you know what? God dang it. We had a freaking blast. We had a lot of fun. And we worked with what we had, and we made the best of it on way less compared to what we have now. You're not the same person you were 30 years ago. I know I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. But if you just look at the simplicity of we worked what we did to do what we did, we had a good time. Because you worked hard to play harder. And I still believe in that philosophy now.
Well, that's just it. And what we're trying to tell you here is like just like any of these young kids or children, like I can't make enough money to make it nowadays in
Bullshit.
Society. Well, maybe you're just not doing the right things. Maybe you're just
we're not putting in the right effort.
Yeah, you're working in maybe the wrong type of career, or you're focusing on this college education that you're spending millions on or thousands on, whatever how much it costs. And the main thing is maybe if you just change gears up a little bit, get yourself a decent trade, that money will start coming your way.
Right. You know what I've noticed a lot with especially the younger generation these days? They're a bunch of dreamers, and there's nothing wrong with dreaming. However, their dreaming doesn't work in reality because guess what? These dreamers, they want to be influencers. Well, what the fuck is that? You're on YouTube making videos, and you're supposed to be influencing me? And don't get me wrong, I love me some YouTube, but not everybody is going to do that, and not everybody is going to make it. These people who've made it on YouTube, that is such, again, a small percentage of the people who got into this medium when it started to take off and they got traction and they're able to make videos that people love to watch, including myself, because for a short while when I was doing the other podcast, my dream was to become a radio guy and for the hope that it would take off and it would turn into something, and it never did, and I'm okay with that. So when I hear people talking about, well, they're just going to become YouTubers, my question is, well, what kind of videos are you going to make? What are you going to do that 1,000 people aren't doing out there that they do now? Like, I've unsubscribed to a lot of channels because I love bikini girls. I love seeing models in bikinis. But I tell you what, for a while it was, oh, I have another try-on haul, and I'm going to show you my bikinis. And after a while, it's like, this is boring, man. I'm not impressed here. And being a heterosexual male, which is okay to say now in 2023, since we're all identifying our pronouns and our picks, it's like, really? You're just going to try on bikinis in front of the camera and that's it? What else? And it became such a thing. So I was like, unsubscribe. Because at first I was like, ooh, bikini chicks, bikini. This going to be great. And then it's like, it's kind of boring, man. You know, what you got? So I've got my channels now, which I consistently watch, and I can't even keep up with it. And to me, it's free entertainment. I love it. I really do. There's a sailing show I watch. There's video games. There's classic arcades. I love some of these home guys that say, hey, let me show you how to change a light socket out. You know, and a lot of people don't know how to do that. But that's cool that they do that. But they give you the tips and tricks that you wouldn't learn on your own. Why make mistakes when somebody else already did it for you? You know? So, yeah, man, it's just like, get yourself a skill set, try it out. If it doesn't work out, move on to something else, you know?
Well, everybody tries to find, it seems like nowadays, the easy way out of things.
The easy, quick money scheme, blah, blah, blah.
And that just only works for some time until your luck runs out.
Till reality catches up.
And reality catches up. And you know, there are some people that make a fortune, you know, on a quick rich, you know, get rich schemes. But, you know, like I said, there's plenty of trades out there. Get you some Mike Rowe shows and watch them on YouTube or on TV, you know.
Well, you have to be able to earn a skill set or sell a product that nobody else has done before, and good luck finding that, you know.
Sure. It's all been done before.
It's already been done.
How well do you do it? How good is your attitude? And are you able to learn? And are you open to new good?
Well, it's learning new good things. Well, it's like the company Apple. Okay, we're Apple guys. We are, and it doesn't mean I hate Droid. I just happen to be comfortable with Apple. I love the history and legacy of Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. Wozniak was already out of college as a computer engineer. Steve Jobs struggled as a software developer. You know, it was his job to make that Atari game Breakout in the 70s. Well, he sucked at it. Well, his buddy Woz bailed him out. And Woz was working at Hewlett-Packard at the time, doing whatever he did. Well, Jobs got this light in his lamp. Hey, man, why don't we make computers? Woz was down for it, too. And Jobs became the marketing guy. Wozniak was the engineer. Wozniak developed the Apple I, which was nothing more than a hobbyist computer kit. But you got to understand, back in the 70s, you didn't go to goddamn Radio Shack and buy a computer. That didn't exist. You had to put it together. So they put together, let's say, 70, 80% of the computer. But when you took it home, you had to put the rest of it together. But that idea out of his parents' garage turned it into the empire that they have now. And Wozniak is a college graduate because, like I said, he's an engineer. He knew how to do hardware. He had to know write software code, all this brilliant shit, which even in the industry I work in, I understand it from a high level. But I don't know how to write a program. I tried it. It sucks. It's difficult. But they turned it into what we have now. It's a freaking amazing. And Steve Jobs is a college dropout. And I'm not telling people to drop out of college, but the guy became a multi-billionaire as a college dropout and literally created a company in his garage, his parents' garage, and stayed in town. That'd be no different than if that happened here in the Tampa Bay area, that here's this local tycoon still living here with this multi-billion dollar company, and they're headquartered here. And they still are to this day in Cupertino, California, which is just outside San Francisco.
Well, he had a vision.
And he did have a vision.
He took a big risk.
He was a big-time risk. He got fired from his own company.
Yes, and he followed through and created products.
And came back.
And came back and had innovative ideas that people recognized.
Right, and arguably Apple became a better company when he came back because they were kind of niche, expensive. Even back in, I want to say, 84, 85, when the first Macintosh came out. You know, back then, that son of a gun was like $2,200
in
the 80s time frame, which would be probably maybe a $10,000 computer on this. Can you imagine going into Best Buy and say, yeah, man, I'll get that computer there for 10 grand? Hell no.
Now, mainly schools and vocational schools were buying them.
Well, they gave them to a discount, of course. The schools got a discount.
I remember using them in schools.
I do. I remember using the Apple II.
Yes.
Because the Apple II is what put them on the map.
And I used them, and I was quite impressed by them at the time. Better than like the Commodores or whatever else that was out.
IBM PCs, IBM DOS, PCs, a lot of the typing. Just you had to put in your commands.
They had
type.
The green screen with the little cursor blinking.
Yeah, but they used the Macintosh especially, and then eventually even the Apple II. They were the innovative of having a GUI, or using a mouse, where nobody else was really doing that at the time.
No, they weren't.
So as kids, we were already about the interaction, and it's like, wow, these are so much better. But I remember even as a kid, when I saw what the price of an Apple II was, I knew better to even ask my parents. I actually had a Commodore, but the Commodore was a lot of typing to eventually get you to the video games and the stuff. So there was a lot of its own tinkering itself. You know, crazy enough that today, the Commodore is the best-selling computer of all time, better than Apple, better than IBM.
Yeah, but because it was affordable, right?
It was affordable, but it was also complex.
Yes.
You know, you had to be a little smarter. You didn't just turn it on and pop in a floppy disk and start, you know, playing a game or whatever. So yeah, man, that's all we really want to talk about in this after show. Just about get yourself a skill set, man, and never be inflexible to learning new things because you never know.
It's just not all about, I mean, it's always good to get any type of knowledge into your brain and learn some new things, but it's not always, I need to be this or I need to be that.
Right.
Think about other options out there.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, we just want to thank you for listening to the after show.
Yeah, if you stuck around for it this long, this is a long-ass show today, right?
This is a long show today. Long-winded, of course.
Of course.
We're about, in the old Chewy and Pirate Mobile, we're about running on fumes right here. The gas tank
is pretty low. We're about ready to wrap it up here, so. Well, we guys, thank you for sticking around for the after show. This was the informal part of the show, so we're going to go ahead and sign off, and we'll see you for show number 4 in a week or two here, whenever we get around to it.
Thank you all.
All right. See you later.